you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Let's take another question for you. Good afternoon, talk back. 49 minutes after the hour, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. This show is very informative. I've heard information that I have not heard elsewhere.
Thank you.
I would like to say welcome back, Mr. Hamilton.
Thank you.
I agree with the there should not be a selective service, because I do not think that if you enacted a draft, so to speak, that you would have people lining up just to accommodate a system that could not find a remedy to Robert Spivak's bleeding colon.
Would you stop it?
Here is John from New York City.
Hello, Jerry.
Hi.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, John.
I can give you another 10 reasons why not to vote for John McCain, but I'll stick to the reason I called.
All right.
Number one, he flaps in the breeze, opinion-wise, more than Bill Clinton ever did, depending on what audience he's speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, he did not endorse Republican Rob Spiewak for Senate during the last midterm election in Maryland.
Okay.
Number three, anal leakage and discharge.
Thanks for your call.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I'm happy to say. You're on the radio.
Oh, super. Yeah, I was interested in, you brought up the Kyoto Accords, which has always interested me. I'm sorry, it's late.
Oh, we're not offended. We're sympathetic.
The discussion
the very mention of what we did, like, makes everyone stammer, because it was so careless and so stupid and so unconcerned about the rest of life.
Which part was that?
Opting out of the Kyoto Accord, saying that's not for us.
Oh. Yeah, that too. But the reason, one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, you started to talk about the difference between the different grades of oil, like light crude and kerosene, and kerosene is distilled.
Sweet light crude? Right.
See, I was thinking that sweet light crude was the lubricant that Mike O'Mara used on his bully stick when he shoved it in the fuselage.
I wonder whether we can count on anything that's more inappropriate than that this morning. I don't know. Let's see.
I think you can.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to come to you on our first fundraising show of the new year. And we have just gotten off to a bang. We just had a nice, nice pledge. And I'd like to thank the gentleman who did that, Buzz Bourbon, right here in New York. A very generous pledge. Buzz, we appreciate it.
Buzz Bourbon.
One more.
One more, please.
You're on the air. There you go. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? How you doing, pal?
I'm fine. How are you? I just wanted to say that the Meow Mix commercial that you played that said Meow Mix came in three flavors.
Mm.
I think they were full of black, because no matter what you did, it always needed salt anyway. I don't care what kind of flavor it was. I used to make Mike O'Mara stand on his head, and I would eat it with a spoon off of his paint. And still, it wouldn't help.
Get tuned to WMA. That's why I love my listeners so much.
Mike Show.
Wow. That's kind of off, Brad. Wow. That's great.
This is quite literally hell on earth.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
I just want to celebrate another day.
Well, hi, everybody.
I just want to celebrate.
Oh.
not, I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Oh, yes, it is.
He prefers to be treated like a dog. Also, a toilet.
That's so gay.
Hey, Jurek, you're so hot.
She's hot.
She's hot, yeah. Hey.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Welcome back to the film.
Welcome back, everybody. All right, well, this thing.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Dongo!
What about vagina?
Right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike!
Welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Hugh.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hugh Hamilton.
Everybody, it's a new episode on this Wednesday. And you just heard the phone number, 877-365-3636. Go ahead. I dare you. Call.
Go on, enter.
Today the calls will be, as usual, in little spots. Almost like someone who's spotting.
Like stains.
And if you are, see a doctor immediately. You're spotting.
What about train spotting?
What about train spotting? I don't like the scene where the guy goes into the toilet to get his drugs out. That's my instant analysis of that movie.
And, of course, if you are spotting, my sympathies go out to you. Right. Men and women.
Go to the doctor if you're spotting. The phone calls on the show today will be spotty. We'll take some here. We'll take some there.
Spotty, shabby.
I don't want to alert anybody make anybody nervous. Tomorrow, there's a very good chance that they won't be spotting. It'll just be a big, gigantic river of calls.
Are we going to try it again? Are we going to try the all-caller show again?
The all-caller show.
Yeah, heavy flow.
Now, keep in mind...
You know what I like? Is, you know, we didn't completely edit out the all-caller show last time. It was kind of a dress rehearsal. So maybe that practice will give the all-callers tomorrow... No, it won't. What am I talking about?
Nice thought.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see how some spotting goes right now. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Spot our collective underpants. Hello there.
Yeah, I must have got the wrong number. This is the lawyer that called me back?
Yes, this is the lawyer. What's happening?
Yeah, I don't know you guys nothing, man.
This is Mr. Dumas.
I'm afraid you do. This is Dumas. And we've looked over the brief, and your briefs look terrible.
Man, who is this?
I said,
this is the law office of Dumas and Dumas.
Now, watch your language.
Now, son, you don't talk that way to your mother, and you don't talk that way to your lawyers. You don't use
my
that
mother's
type of...
dead. I don't say nothing to my mom.
Yeah, but you don't talk like that to us.
We're your lawyers, son.
Second bad language you've used.
You know, that guy was a great caller because he really thought he was calling his lawyer.
Uh-huh. All the way.
And he used the F-bomb and he used the S-bomb because he was mad that he wasn't going to pay a bill.
He was very, very upset. And we did nothing to help that situation.
Absolutely nothing.
He was very angry.
I know. Oh, there's lots of calls standing by. But first let's ask Simon Cowell what he thinks of our show.
This may not appear much, but this is actually one of the best places I've ever been to in America.
Right, well, wow.
Thank you. No S, Sherlock.
Very nice of you, Simon.
Pretty great place we got here.
Oh, this is just intolerable.
Yeah, that's my man.
It's just unbelievable. It's just wrong.
Yeah.
Will you shut up?
Uh-huh. And don't forget Joe. Joe was on American Idol last night.
Really?
Our own Joe Arninger.
If you don't have an education, then you can't hardly get a job.
How are you doing, Joe?
I was wondering whether you were going to use that.
Joe?
If you don't have an education, then you can't hardly get a job.
That was the little kid. That was good. And what's the deal? So let me get this straight. Ryan goes to Africa. Simon goes to Africa. Randy goes to the ravaged parts of New Orleans.
And Paula goes to a place that's right across the street.
Yeah, Paula stays in L.A.
Paula goes to a place literally that's right across the street from the lot where they do the show.
Wow. I would think that the powers that be on that show are so savvy
to the viewing audience.
The Powers Booth to be on that show.
The Powers Booth. They're so savvy. Hey, Paula. What's the matter with you, sweetie? Don't want to get your hands dirty? Is that what it is?
Last night was a sickening American Idol buzz. I know you don't watch it.
True.
I'll tell you why it was sickening.
Please do it.
Well, first off, they come out and they say, tonight, mentoring Bono.
Right.
You know, Bono's going to be like the guest helping out the schmucks that are the American Idol.
Truly a big deal.
I mean, I watched the entire show. I didn't see Bono.
Did they play his song when they were in the background, when they were in Africa?
Uh-uh.
Huh. Wasn't that Bono? Wasn't that a Bono song they were playing?
What happened?
What?
I think it was Coldplay.
Okay.
Everything sounds like Coldplay, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, no. But there was no Bono at all.
What happened?
And because they were doing this whole charity thing, mm-hmm. which really the more I watched it, the more I got mad and then mad.
That's right, because charity makes you angry, right?
Well, no. Charity is okay.
Well, I thought you hated charity.
Charity's okay if you don't make a big friggin' deal about it.
Well, they made a big deal of it.
For instance, if the advertisers of American Idol donate a tiny small percentage of their profit to whatever this bogus American Idol charity is, all it means is that we're going to have to see their logos 1,000 more times on the screen.
Right.
And listen to the spiel over and over again about how great they are and about how if we, the little rats on crack out there, can manage to call 50 million times tonight, well, Fox will have to pay $5 million in charity. Do you know what Fox made on that show last night?
$5
million?
Yeah, Buzz, that's what they would want you to think.
$5 million, and they gave it all to charity.
It's a break-even deal. It was a suck fest, but because they were doing this charity thing, and they didn't even address the fact, God, I wish I didn't watch this show like a 16-year-old girl. They had on, the Lance Armstrong thing?
Bracelets.
The bracelet thing?
I didn't notice
that. They had on white ones.
Oh, white.
Oh, really? And I went to their website after the show, and of course they're selling that for, Idol Gives Back.
Idol. I called last night after the show was over, and I think, and Carla called too, and I think there's going to be a problem. Because now they gave two numbers for every contestant.
Yeah.
On the second number for Phil, when she called, it was actually, they said, thank you for voting for Blake.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's going to be a major problem, but the fact is that it might be. No. The phone systems appeared to be screwed up again last night.
Wow. And the performance is less than great. And because they were doing this whole everything's for hope and up with people.
You didn't like Blake's version of Imagine?
No,
his inspired version.
I was waiting for Simon Cowell to cut him a new one, and instead it was like, and also because it was a dignified evening, Simon Cowell didn't have his shirt on, his T-shirt on that shows his man teeth.
Right.
Instead, he had a white button-down shirt, but he had like 8 buttons unbuttoned.
Did you see Ryan in Africa when you saw his man teeth? I mean, if we're watching closely, and we do watch like teenage girls, right, you had to comment on his nipples. He had nipples, too.
Right.
That skinny, emaciated, 130-pound waif had nipples in Africa.
The nerve
in hot Africa, where you shouldn't have the cut glass thing happening because it was cold. He was wearing a blue golf shirt, and his nipples were showing right through the golf shirt.
Well, the thing about the, I didn't catch that part.
I loved it.
The thing is that I thought the performances sucked. They didn't say it because it was the big charity shindig.
Nice. You didn't like the Showstopper by Jordan?
Which one
Jordan
was that?
Sparks at the end?
You'll Never Walk Alone.
Yeah. The Jerry song?
Hey, listen, any other time that they came out and did a song like that, you know what they'd say to them? You're doing a song that's 70 years old.
I thought it was very cabaret.
Shut up. Yeah, that was the only good moment when the real Simon came out on their big charity show.
And I asked you yesterday, you said it wasn't a one-hour show. I said it'll be a two-hour show tonight.
Two-hour suck fest tonight.
Two big hours. I guess we'll see Bono tonight.
Yeah,
right?
I'm watching it like a rat on crack. Anyway, not the best breakfast I ever had, Brad. I'd like to see the manager. And poor Poor Kiki. She is so...
Kiki's
so
lost.
Freaking gone.
She's well, just because the choices. No one's helping her out.
But it's hard to believe that...
No one's helping her out.
The beatbox boy is still going to be there. That stupid Blake creep is going to be there. That bald-headed freak is still going
to
be there.
But seriously, good call. Bright call, Lakeisha. Pick a Fantasia song to sing.
Sure.
That she made completely her own. Stupid choice.
Yeah.
Really stupid choice.
Yeah. Speaking of Fantasia.
And Rob, what do we call the nose? What Blake's what?
Blake's bad nose.
Blake's bad nose.
I was staring at it last night.
And for, as someone, I'm not really doing a good job describing why this was such a suck fest. Besides the bad performances, since you only have six people singing 3-minute songs each, that only fills up about 15 minutes of the show.
Right.
We're forced to watch the same footage that we've seen all year of them going to Africa when they, I'm guessing by the amount of footage they have, since they're starting to loop it now,
yep.
They must have gotten off the plane and actually spent maybe like 12 minutes in Africa.
I don't believe they unpacked.
And rolled film and then said, you know, this is deplorable. Get me out of here. Get me to the
The Hilton?
Yeah, but there wouldn't be a Hilton in...
Oh, sure. That's a pretty big jet they were getting off of. This is a big old 747 that they were getting off of.
Take me to the Ritz.
Radisson nearby.
And you didn't mention the magical sequence where they tried to make Simon look human at the food bank. And he says, you can take a dollar and buy a can of tuna or all of this.
Yes.
Remarkable.
And then he turned around to the staff there and said, oh, shut up.
He's never eaten a can of tuna in his life. Never.
So Simon's like in a cave
right.
with a bunch of these... poor, starving African kids. And the thing is, he can't pull it off with any compassion. He's looking around and he says, this is horrible. And you know he's not saying, this is horrible like for them. It's like, it's horrible for him.
For me, yeah.
It's horrible for him because he's like, why am I here?
This is awful.
This is, my God, I'm Simon Cowell.
And the question remains, where is Paula Abdul? Where is Paula Abdul?
Where in the world?
Do you think back when they were putting these things in the can that Paula was too wasted to travel?
Yeah, absolutely.
She'd be just up there just going, oh, kids.
Absolutely, and I have to question again, I think like I did before, I'm sorry for repeating myself, this whole vague idol gives back, where it's like the money's going to Africa, but it looks to me like the same footage of the same kids from like a Sally Struthers commercial.
That's
especially
right.
When you got the one kid with the one tear coming down his cheek.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of vaguely throw in, oh yeah, there's also Louisiana and West Virginia.
It is vague. It's not real specific as far as you know where the money is going to be. I guess it's going to the food bank was one of the more specific, and they're saying that they're going to set up those feeding centers, but they don't give a tremendous amount of detail.
No.
Well,
are you saying that this is one giant scam, that all the money is going to be going back to the Cowell residence? He'll be keeping it under his bed.
Something like that, either Cowell / Murdoch, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
And how about when Ryan Seacrest, excuse me, what he said last night during the sell for all of this? This could be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
Mm-hmm.
Really? What about when I'm laying on my kitchen floor trying to dial 911 when I'm having that fatal heart attack? No?
That might be a little more important.
No? No.
Just a little bit more.
No. What about when I call to tell a loved one about the birth of a grandchild?
You're right. Right, those are important phone calls.
Not as important as voting tonight, because remember, 10 cents from every one of your little pissant text messages goes to whatever this bogus charity is we're holding up. And let's look at the logos again from all of our sponsors.
10 cents to me for these corporations and the kind of advertising they're getting seemed a little light to me.
Of course it does.
I mean, it's easy for us to sit here and pick it apart, but... I really do believe 10 cents. When I heard that number, I was a little surprised. And based on my phone call last night, they got a screwy phone system there. It was going absolutely insane. I'll be very interested to see if they mention anything about it tonight.
Well, who do you think is out tonight?
Lakeisha. Slam dunk.
Wow.
Too bad. Yeah, and Lakeisha, probably one of the more talented singers,
I agree.
Just horrible, horrible song choices.
Rob, please don't tell me you're going to hold on to this I Hate Phil thing.
Yeah, Martian is gone. I promise you.
Oh. You think Phil's gone tonight?
Oh, it's
That's who I voted for last
This
time.
Has been his lock of the week, though, for the last 5 weeks.
Phil, he said Phil's going every single week.
Every week.
One of these weeks.
One of these days, I'll be right.
No, Lakeisha just blew it. You pick a Fantasia song. You pick something from another one of the idols, and it's the death blow.
And I do think this. I do think Jordan Sparks is going to win this year. I think she's going to go all the way.
I think it's going to be Melinda.
Night.
There's no question it's going to be Melinda.
I don't think so.
You know why? They're fixing Melinda up. She's looking less and less midget-like.
And she's also just so much more talented than any of the other contestants.
What they do is they keep changing her hair so it covers more of her face and head.
You're seeing
less and less of it.
I would like to see Jordan lose some of the LBs. I really would, because I think she could be absolutely super hot if she did that. But you know why she won't? You know why it's a stone cold lock that she won't?
Why?
Because when you see her bio, she was a plus size model.
Oh, was she really?
Now, if you're a plus size model,
you've been
you're
doing
like
a lot
15,
of research.
No, this was just this on TV. It was a 15 or 16 if she was a plus size model. She's not going to lose the pounds now. It's not going to happen.
They paid her in sandwiches.
No, I think it's going to be Melinda, and I think Lakeisha's gone tonight.
Really, you think so? Mm. If you notice when Lakeisha talks, she's got a crooked mouth. Watch her during the interview segments, and her bottom, almost like a stroke
mouth. I think she's got a little bit of a lisp, too.
A little bit of one.
Just a little bit.
Goodness. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
That would be a shame if the next American Idol have a lisp.
Dear, goodness.
Sanjaya didn't have a lisp.
Ma May.
Hello,
Don and Mike.
Or did he?
Hello.
Hey, fellas.
I got
a quick question for you here, because I've had a crappy week, and I don't know how to handle this.
Ha ha, loser.
Okay, what's going on, friend?
No doubt about it. I woke up the other morning, and this chick who I used to be pretty close to, who I haven't seen in 6 months, shows up at my door, verbally berates me, takes a swing at me, and then flees the scene of the crime before I have an opportunity to respond in any way. Hold it.
Slow down. She just walked into your house?
And she smacked you?
Yeah.
How did she get in?
Oh, who is this, Chevy Chase? Are you calling about your mom?
No.
That's something that came up late in the show. Hold on a second. We discovered yesterday late in the show, Chevy Chase announces in his autobiography that he was beaten by his mom and dad.
Wouldn't they wake him up at like 2:00 in the morning just to slap him?
Yes.
Tom Hanks thinks that's about as funny a thing as ever been on the news.
Yeah. Chevy Chase
on the news
was beaten by his parents.
used to whip him on the back of his legs.
Almost, oh, yeah, that went through.
Almost makes you want to forgive him.
It does, but not quite.
Not quite, Mike.
Not for all that work.
Not quite. Aykroyd? If Aykroyd had a career like Chevy Chase?
Yes.
You'd forgive Aykroyd.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Aykroyd gets a free pass on a couple of things.
There's just something.
Of course, you got to remember, didn't Aykroyd team up with Jim Belushi to continue the Blues Brothers?
And John Goodman.
Yes, he did. However, come on, there's a part of Dan Aykroyd that even now is still funny.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of him. Can you tell me any?
What has he done lately?
Well, I could flip around with Chevy Chase done lately.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dan Aykroyd has been in stuff more recently than Chevy Chase.
Right.
Tommy Boy.
What?
He was in Tommy Boy.
He was good in Tommy.
That's right.
He was excellent in Tommy Boy.
I'm even way like, 10 years old?
Yeah, but that's more recent.
I mean, Chris Farley's been dead for a long time.
Hasn't he been in some... Well, he's been in Driving Miss Daisy. He played a dramatic role in Driving Miss Daisy. Didn't he get nominated for that?
Yeah, that was before Tommy.
Right. Here's the thing. True. Dan Aykroyd gets the pass because Chevy Chase was such the a-hole. Even when he became really popular on Saturday Night Live, when he was doing the I'm Chevy Chase and You're Not and Falling Down... you knew that he was acting like a big prick back then.
And you read the book Wired, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which tells the story Chevy Chase was... Well, there's another one, too, that's out about... That was actually written that we interviewed the author.
Well, we had we had Judy Belushi on the show.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote it? Was it... God, is it Tom Shales that wrote the book about
Saturday
Night Live?
The history of Saturday Night Live.
Chevy Chase does not come across well in that book.
Yeah, no. Listen, they're all whores from that era. Of Saturday Night Live, the very first era, as much as they can be, they've become caricatures of themselves because they've whored themselves out so much.
Well, due to the immense popularity of that show, it was one of a kind, and it was the first of its kind.
But there is, I guess what I'm saying is I think Dan Aykroyd gets a pass, partly because he worked with Belushi, partly because he's still funny, and partly because even because he does this jive stuff, he would come on TV all the time like Chevy Chase. commenting on stuff, getting pissed off at stuff.
Yeah, and he's getting stodgy. That's the thing. Chevy Chase getting stodgy in his old age.
Lecturing people about what's funny and what's not funny in the world.
Serious business of comedy.
The world according to Chevy Chase.
I just remembered Chevy Chase's last big project.
Law and Order?
Yeah, the Law and Order.
Where he played Mel Gibson.
The Mel Gibson guy, right. And he was horrible.
Well, Dan Aykroyd was in 51st Date and Christmas with the Cranks, maybe his best-known, most recent work.
He's just
completed work on I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
I am sorry.
Oh, the new Sandler movie.
I am sorry to say that I know a lot about all of those. Mm-hmm. That the Christmas with the Cranks was based on maybe one of the worst books ever written by, I think it's John Grisham. Either him or James Patterson. One of those guys.
Same guy, I thought.
Just makes him come out like my BMs, his books, every day. Just boom, there's another bestseller. Christmas with the Cranks co-stars Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
Who has definitely hit the wall in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one? 51st Date?
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
Right, Adam Sandler.
Is that the one with Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and what else then, Buzz?
I was telling you about his latest project, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Oh, and that's the movie with Kevin James and Adam Sandler that now in our new post-IMA society is getting some negative buzz because it's got gay humor, because it's two guys who have to get married to get insurance, and they're not gay, and you know, hilarity ensues.
Of course, yeah, but we're in that non-hilarity mode of our society right now.
Which is why I just read something saying that normally a movie with Adam Sandler and Kevin James playing two guys who have to get married together would be a surefire home run.
Right.
And now they're thinking, ooh, not really sure about it.
Well, it's going to offend the Hollywood community.
After all that IMA stuff went down, they had to re-edit and take out all the hardcore.
Wow.
They had to take out the Borat scene, didn't they?
They did. Uh-huh. They did.
Where IMUS is wearing the onesie.
Not IMUS.
No, I'm talking about Kevin James.
It was Kevin James in the onesie.
I'm talking about the Borat scene where Kevin James would be the guy in bed, and Adam Sandler would be Borat.
Yeah, but Kevin James crawling on top of Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
hot. Really hot. But inappropriate.
How does Borat bald?
Borat bald.
How does Azamat bald?
Azamat. Way to go to remember that name, Azamat.
Anyway, are you still there? Hello.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Isn't it wonderful to call and we just start one of our impromptu lectures on life? You learn so much.
And this is the guy that, I believe, had his ex-girlfriend walk into his house and slap him.
Not exactly ex-girlfriend, but we were tight, and she did show up after 6 months and take a swing at me. And here's the worst thing. No chance to respond. She fled the scene of the crime, and I couldn't even pursue to make my argument, because I didn't do anything wrong, because I'm blind. She assaulted the handicapped. And so basically, I was just calling so you people could do the same.
So she's blind, too?
No.
I guess she wouldn't be able to hit you if she was blind.
Well, she couldn't have snuck up on me, so, Japanese, like, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Maybe it wasn't her.
No, it was her.
How do you know?
Well, she spoke to you, right?
Oh, very, very.
Berated you.
But how do you know that she didn't bring an enforcer with her to do the slapping?
Yeah, maybe it was Rich Little doing one of his voices.
No, it was just her.
What did she say you did?
Well, she told me to screw up a few months ago, and so I did. And then I started hanging out with
her. I have a question for you after all this.
And then I started hanging out with one of her baby daddies.
I have a question for you. After all this has transpired, will you be seeing her again? I'm sorry, I had to.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist.
Hey, listen, I hate to bring it down to this level. Do you think that maybe she slapped you and she left you because she realized that there had to be some reason that God chose to flaw you?
Believe me, she's at least as flawed.
No, she's as flawed. That's the attitude. That's good. That's, you know what? That's the way to get through life when God throws you the curveball. I like that.
Well, that and the massive amounts of whiskey I've been drinking ever since.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How do you find... Do you have it in Braille on the bottles? How do you find your whiskey?
If you've ever had a shot of whiskey, you never forget it. You know exactly what that smells
like. So have you been blind all your life?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to remind him, if you're drinking, sir, please don't drive.
Well, absolutely not. I'm not a completely worthless blind. I've graduated my college. I've gotten my education here. That's all I'm
saying. Let me ask you about being blind from birth and drinking.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's you think of getting buzzed. It kind of affects your equilibrium, and you're looking at things, and you kind of get wobbly. What's it do to you when you're blind? When you get loaded?
Well, I'm not completely blind, so I still have what
hold
I can't.
Oh, hold on. Hold on a second. Hold on. Can you see?
Can't drive.
Hold on.
Legally blind.
Barely.
Hold on. Can you see, though?
Can I see as far as if you were standing in front of me, could I see you? Yes.
Could I describe you?
No.
Goodbye, Faker.
Bye!
That's why she slapped
you. You know what? That is an insult to all of those who truly are blind,
mm-hmm.
who cannot see. The guy should have called.
For the people that really live in the dark.
The guy should have called and said, hey, mm-hmm. I got limited vision.
That's because if he wanted to fight back, he could see your outline.
Vision impaired.
Right.
He could have gotten off a counterpunch.
Oh, he got another date.
Ultimate fighting.
Please.
That's not fair. He just cheated us.
Oh, never mind. I was going to say something that's very cruel. Hello.
Hey, Radio Gods.
A little self-editing there. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. You guys are talking about a Dan Aykroyd movie that he's been in recently.
Yeah.
It was either last year or the year before, Christmas with the Cranks with Tim Allen. He was in that.
Here we go. First one of the day. What part of the country are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Centerville, Virginia.
Right around D.C., wow. Mike. No, Mr. 10 years ago. Mr. 10 minutes ago.
That's you've had a violation. You know that, don't you?
I think he left. He's gone, Mike.
So hit and run.
Hello there. Donna Mike Show.
Oh, now I'm screwed. Dan Aykroyd was in a Gross Point Blank. He played an assassin. I know Mr. 10 minutes ago, but it was a damn good movie, and that was a really good part.
Well, I love John Cusack movies until he turned it into a giant pussy.
Mm-hmm.
But
with
Dan
his
Aykroyd,
love movies, but that's a great one, and you're right.
His love movies.
Was,
I like
that.
Until he started making those love movies.
Well,
that's when he became a real love movie.
Mike, I bring to the table Serendipity.
Yes.
And Must Love Dogs.
Oh, God.
Ouch.
Wow.
You know,
that doesn't count. You know, he made great movies like The Grifters.
Yeah.
That was a good movie.
And don't forget that one we like so bad, Pushington.
Oh, Pushington. Fantastic. With
that
Billy Bob Thornton.
With Billy Bob Thornton.
Great movie.
High Fidelity.
Oh, High Fidelity kicked so much ass. Wearing your Cosby sweater.
Wasn't Jack Black in that, too?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jack Black's the guy that's wearing your Cosby sweater.
That's right. Love them.
Gets all mad because he's made a special mixtape for
that
day.
That's his cassette. I miss cassettes.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
What, Robbie?
I'll buy Mike a box of cassettes.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Hello. What's up?
Don and Mike. I saw a trailer the other day for the new Die Hard movie coming out.
Yeah.
I had a question.
Mm-hmm.
In a fight, who could kick whose ass? Jack Bauer or John McClane?
John McClane obviously being the Bruce Willis character.
Yes.
As they both are now, keeping in mind they're both fictitious.
As they are now.
Mm. I would go with... experience. I would go with John McCain. I like calling him McCain.
You know how easily...
John McCain, yippee-yi-yo-ki-yi, mother
You know how easily they subdued Jack when little Ricky Schroeder showed up the other night in the episode when they give him the headbutt, the rifle butt?
Right.
I'm inclined to agree with you that the Bruce Willis character would... Because Jack, when it comes to real hand-to-hand combat, but if it was a shooting situation... I believe the training of Jack Bauer would prevail. So with guns, it would be Jack Bauer. With fisticuffs, it would be the Bruce Willis.
John McClane's good at
John McClane.
John McCain is good at figuring out riddles.
Mm-hmm.
That like Klaus the crazy crowd gives him
when he's running around an office building from room to room.
What's the third one? Is it Die Hard with a Vengeance? The third one where they're getting the gold out of New York,
right?
And in those big gigantic trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a good one with Sam Jackson. That's where they do send them all over. Like Simon says, go to Central Park and find the case.
I can't. You know what? I hate censoring myself too. About a sequel to Die Hard, where they're going to have a sequel between Man on Fire and Die Hard. It's going to be Die Hard on Fire.
Hey, Don, Mike.
I get it.
I'm with you.
You write it down for me?
Hey, I can't write it down. I already said it, so it's just the way I said it.
Excuse me.
I'll write it down.
You split it up.
Buzz is going to write it down.
Die Hard on Fire.
There you go.
Said it fine. That's fine.
Is the first Die Hard the one where he has to walk across broken glass in bare feet? That's always pretty great, too.
Right. Die Hard on Fire.
That's right.
Now are you embracing it a little bit?
I understand it.
Are you enjoying it now that you...
He's smiling. Die Hard on Fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Motion picture. A powerful motion picture.
Thank you for giving me Tom Hanks on that. That was certainly a long time to wait.
Oh, that's for me.
Oh, that's for you.
That's for me.
Oh, that's for you. Oh.
Please. How dumb am I? Yeah, I guess that is kind of funny.
Thanks, Don.
That's why I appreciate it. That's why I gave myself that mic.
It's okay, because I don't blame you for not getting it right away, because I had to deliver it that way.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago. Dive right into it.
10 years ago, my God. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Those were the days.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hello, what's happening?
Oh, hey, that blind guy. I've got a question for you if you would fancy this. Do you think he knows what a color is since he's been blind since birth?
Well, he's technically not completely blind.
He's not really blind. He's only partially. He's got partial sight.
He's legally blind.
He's color
blind. As he said, very legally blind.
And that doesn't cut it on this show.
Not good enough. Or bad enough, depending on your point of view.
Hello. Don is my show, poser. Hello, faker. Hello.
Thank you, God.
Cheater. Hello, what's up? Quitter.
Love you in Frisco.
Thank you.
Hey, how about Cusack and Eight Men Out? It was shortstop, Bucky.
Yeah, really good movie about the White Sox blowing the World Series.
Yeah, it was good stuff. Hey, did you
it's
hear...
It's kind of a homoerotic movie where they blow the World Series.
It's wonderful.
Called Eight Men Way Out.
Hello, Don, Mike show.
Yeah, is that my spot?
What?
That my spot. My turn to spot.
Oh, the guy's doing something about spotting.
Yeah. Like the thing we said a half an hour ago?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All right, well, sorry about that. I'm going to go further back.
He's mentally retarded.
Hello?
I think Alec Baldwin would have been in less trouble if he just used his movie voice on the recorder instead of, you know, his regular voice.
Now we're going in. And that's incidentally, that's how you save yourself. If you go a little too far back, you want to go further back to save yourself.
Come on, don't you want to say something now about Imus? Isn't that going to be next in your news cycle?
No, I'll
get out of here. And would they please stop calling it a news cycle? There are two things that have a cycle to them.
Uh-huh.
One is my washer and my dryer.
Right.
And the other is a woman before she hits the time when she's safe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those are things that have a cycle. What they're saying now about the way that we're treating news in this country is, well, we only stayed with the Imus thing until the news cycle was over. Mm-hmm. Then the news cycle began on hip-hop. Then the news cycle began on the Blue Angels crash. And now the news cycle has been... Who's steering this cycle? This unicycle.
Yeah, cycle would indicate regularity.
Well, and originally that's what it meant. It was a broadcast journalism term that referred to specifically days and weeks. For example, if the White House or the government in general had bad news to announce, they would announce it at 5 p.m. on Friday.
Right.
And in the business, they used to say, because that's end of the news cycle.
But now it's become
just a
blanket term. I heard Nancy Grace last night going, someone was saying to her, why are you still talking about this? And and she was like, well, because the news cycle on this refuses to die.
Miss you. Nancy Grace can ride my unicycle anytime she wants.
I would do Nancy Grace
in
a heartbeat.
I was joking.
I got a pass on that.
I know you were, but I was not.
You think she's hot? I bet if you saw her up close and she skimmed off, she got the spackling tool that would be required to take off that foundation makeup.
No,
you know what you'd have underneath? You'd have Robert Englund underneath there.
So you'd have some biker chick from down south who would do anything, who would talk dirty to you.
Like strong-willed women like
and
that.
And when you were done, would be done with you as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking on pure. Yeah, you're bringing a lot of personality into this, and I'm simply putting it on a physical level.
Mike,
I think she would look like a troll.
Mike, the largest sexual organ that we have is our brain.
This is the second day that you've been quite the romantic. The lady speaks the truth.
My lord, there's nothing romantic about this the way that I would like to hog-tie Nancy Grace.
Oh, now it's getting nasty.
Well,
now, a little bondage, perhaps? A little leather, maybe?
No, just to check out the goods.
Hog-tie,
like you always do.
She can't get away.
A hog-tie situation. Just hog-tie or take a good look at her.
Well, I should point out Nancy Grace, also a TV talking head. You know, you really have
Ed.
No idea what's going on with her.
Exactly,
Have you ever seen her do a stand-up?
Yeah, I think she's got a hot little body.
Is she petite? She got a rocking body?
She's got two nice little love lumps.
Oh, my.
I have stated before that I think...
You'd like to be in a state of grace?
Yeah.
Amazing grace.
Amazing grace. How sweet
sure.
the sound.
Sure, I do her. Absolutely.
Wow.
Is that what you'd sing like after?
Amazing grace.
That's John going down in the elevator from her condo.
Good.
And she's got a condo, you know, right? She wouldn't have a regular house. She'd have a condo.
Nancy Grace.
I'm suddenly turning this into a scene from Boston Legal.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. Wanted to see what you thought about Fat Rosie leaving The View.
Oh, you know, I guess we'll discuss that in a couple of seconds. Yeah, she quit today.
Yeah, it's a sad day. Very, very sad. Very, very sad day. We're all very broken up about it.
It's a sad day for the manufacturers of tux.
So long, porque. I liked watching Barbara Walters act.
It's a sad
day. That's my new favorite thing to do on The View.
It's a sad day for the manufacturers of Preparation H. To mean that Rosie's not going to be sitting down for an hour every day.
Did you, you know, and absolutely no reaction from the audience when she made the announcement. Wow.
No. Well, you know, well, we'll hear the tape in a second. She's coming off with this whole thing that... she's tired of being criticized for her views, so she's stepping down from The View, and she's spinning this in a way that...
She's saying they wanted 3 years, and she wanted to work one.
I don't believe that, do you?
No. Because you know how we are when we're talking about stuff where we want it to be, you know, smooth and make it like it's not a big... In any kind of show business, every negotiation ends up being contentious in some way. It becomes a bit of a battle. It's just the nature of the process. And when somebody comes out on TV, whenever you hear it, say, oh, listen, it just, here's the way, and at one point she doesn't even use words. At one point she just says, and da da da, and da da da. And Barbara Walters is over there saying how sad she is, and you know that she's high-fiving people.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. You got to say in Rosie O'Donnell's defense is, since she came on that show...
Oh, the show's hot.
The ratings have gone up like 8 million percent. And who used to talk about The View except old fag hags like us?
Right.
Really nobody.
You've got to get somebody on there that will be, you know, at least halfway as much as a spark plug. Right.
Well, first off, you know, where are you going to find as big a pig? Really?
I don't think you have to go that way.
No.
And that's
I think you go with a slut.
Weird.
Get something. A real dirty slut.
Why don't they get
that? Doesn't have to be smart.
Right.
Well, why don't they get like Paris Hilton then?
Bingo. Now, that would last like one show. That would last one show before the tune-out factor, you know? Paris, what do you think?
Because,
I don't know.
Because the thing about Rosie O'Donnell was, unlike her other show, where they like fixed her up and everything as much as they could, she would go on that show in her dirty, ugly sweats. She would look like the pictures of her in the tabloid.
You know, seriously, who I think should go on that show? And she, I mean, I know there was talk about it, but I never thought it, I thought it was actually reasonable. Courtney Love. I think that would be a wonderful addition to that show.
Is she together enough, though, to do it?
She might be. She's all emaciated now. She's been on some kind of diet.
You know who could do it is Sarah Silverman. She is
not in daytime, my friend.
Oh, but
not in daytime.
I'd watch it, though.
Late night. And the problem is, generally speaking, that I agree with a lot of the stuff Rosie O'Donnell says.
Right.
And she added a nice balance to a very, you know, right-wing media thing we got going out there. But it's just she can't do anything without, like, having an accident in her pants and jumping up and down and screaming about it.
She does get a little emotional. Yeah. But you need somebody that's going to be that show is flatlining without it.
Yeah.
And you know, and the reaction from Behar when she made the announcement, too, was just kind of sitting there. Nobody reacted.
Well, Hasselbeck looked like you just handed her three bricks of gold. She was so happy.
Can't imagine.
Well, you know, and isn't it amazing to say she's the right-wing side of that, which she is.
Hasselbeck.
You know, you need somebody, you need a spark plug.
Have you ever seen on the Fox News channel on the weekend where Sean Hannity sits down with Elizabeth Hasselbeck and asks that nutty broad questions like she has a brain rolling around inside that? Hello, she was on Survivor. Head.
Wow.
That's the only reason she's on TV is... She's a piece of ass, and she was on Survivor.
Right.
Well, Sean Hannity likes her politics. That's the only reason she does that. I mean, it's somebody somebody that can you know, try to legitimize him.
Obviously, but her?
Who would you get? Do you have any ideas? I mean, who you would plug into that position in there? I mean, I really think you have to have somebody that's going to pop off at the mouth. Somebody's going to cause controversy.
You mean on The View?
On The View. Somebody to take the Rosie chair after it's been sanitized for their protection.
This is not being... Well, I'll say it. Gina, I think it's time for a man to take a position on that show.
I couldn't agree more.
Wow.
You're here.
Frankly, I think the women have proven that they simply cannot handle
a woman's talk show.
A show. I mean, that show's been on the air for 10 years. They can't seem to keep the cast together. They
And you were quoting Tom Bergeron just the other day saying he's not happy with what he's doing.
Now,
I'm Tom Bergeron. Tom Bergeron. How about you don't get a man, you don't get a woman, you get someone in between?
How about Andy Dick?
Oh, God.
It's a good day for drugs, Rob.
That would be great. Andy Dick, the gay male. A gay man,
there you go.
To add his perspective.
I was thinking.
I'm out after Andy Dick. I have no idea.
I think how many people have said that.
Yeah. How about you combine that other show, the other half, and put Dick Clark on?
As he is now?
Yes. I think it would be great.
You certainly enjoy it.
Why not just put Kirk Douglas up there with him?
Okay?
Hey, now you know what? Now we're getting closer to another show, but I'll call it Stroke of Luck.
Yeah, but that would be a game show.
It would.
And it'd be funny because the entire half hour would be spent spinning the wheel.
Okay, let's hear it.
Time for the foot race.
We've talked about it. Let's hear Rosie O'Donnell before we hit the break.
And, okay, big news, breaking news, breaking news. Did you hear something on CNN? It's breaking news.
I heard. I know a little bit about it.
Breaking news. I've decided that we couldn't come to terms with my deal with ABC, so next year I'm not going to be on The View. However, I will be coming back and guest hosting. I will be doing one-hour specials on autism and depression and stuff that I'm interested in. I'm just not going to do the everyday thing because we couldn't, you know, they wanted me 3 years. I wanted 1 year. And then they were like, okay, well, what if we did do that? I was like, and it just didn't work. And that's showbiz, but it's not sad because I've loved it here and I love you guys and I'm not going away. I'm just not going to be here every day. All right? Something
else. Biatch.
Can't you just smell the crap through that?
Uh-huh.
And I don't mean like the general crap you smell with Rosie O'Donnell. But
and incidentally, I said that only for comedic purposes. I love Rosie.
And now here is Behar and Hasselbeck.
Is that the climate we work
that's
in there?
Well done, Mike.
Here's
that's what Elizabeth Hasselbeck was saying.
Here's the cow and the hot one talking about this.
Now, what do you miss me, Joy? Will you miss me?
He's really sad. Donald Trump. He's on a ledge right now saying, how am I going to resuscitate The Apprentice now?
Well, you know.
Who else is very sad? She's sitting back in the group. Kelly. Kelly is saying, I've got her for lunch every day now.
Exactly. Oh, she's the one probably who was most
trying
to go.
We
always say that this is a good place to get everything out. You know, he knew once I came here in the morning and get all the aggression out of the talk. Yeah, so that was just easy going for the rest of the day, so maybe Kelly feels the same way now.
It's true.
Okay, shut up, Hasselbeck. This show really needs a man to take over.
And Donald Trump will spin this. You know how he will spin this.
I already heard Donald Trump.
Did he already give a comment on it?
Screaming his head off, saying how
he
can
beat her.
How can anybody trust anything that she says? Of course, they wanted to fire her. Barbara Walters is a big liar. So now, what's the news cycle buzz
on this?
On Rosie O'Donnell quitting The View? Which really, to my mind, is not news at all.
No, you're right, but it'll stick around for about 24 hours and then won't resurface again until a replacement's named.
Here's the thing. It's Entertainment Tonight news.
It'll be on tonight. It will not be on tomorrow night.
Right?
Unless, of course, there's a controversy behind the scenes. If there's something where, and now the real story behind why Rosie's leaving, you know that crap all
over. And maybe this is part of the way, like where we're getting to on our society, which no one really wants to address. I'll use the Alec Baldwin thing as a good example. Like 5 years ago, that and rightly so, it would have been the lead on Entertainment Tonight. It would be shocking allegations. Da 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 da. Well, when that came out last week, I was watching Channel 9, the CBS station here in D.C., and they came on, and you would have thought that Alec Baldwin had killed his kid or something. It was like, Alec Baldwin made an awful telephone call. This is sensitive audio. We're going to play this for you now.
Mm-hmm.
And today, gosh, they get 5 minutes until 11 o'clock. I'm watching them do the wrap-up of the weather and the traffic on Channel 4. And they say, I never get on News 4 at 5. Rosie O'Donnell leaving The View. Yes, we'll have more with Jim and Doreen at 5.
Like it's a real news story.
Like that's news.
Yeah, that's what it's become now. That is really what it's become. And it's not slowing down in any way, shape, or form. Tabloids are more popular than ever. Tabloid journalism is more popular than ever.
But then they should stop presenting it. And I'm speaking what everybody thinks, probably. Stop presenting it as real news.
Well, then why do you think the news, network newscasts are down in the ratings? It's the same thing. People are not, you know, it's sad to say, but it is the truth. We're not interested in anything but the crap.
Right? No, they want
we want the crap. We want the fluff. We want the garbage. That's what we show. We will pay attention to.
Here's what we found out about the real news. It's depressing. So we let this stuff capture our attention.
It's sad, but it is. And really, because of the fact that we want the fluff and we want the crap, when it comes to being informed, like on things that might affect whether we live or die, we don't know.
Right.
And when you don't know, as a society, you can keep spoon feeding us that crap and then do whatever the hell you want. And it's that is just fact. That's just the way it is.
Is that right? Dr. Phil?
An 11-year-old child doesn't pick up the phone and call somebody and leak information like that. Some adult did this, and shame on you for doing it.
See, now there's the guy that should be talking about Alec Baldwin. Stupid Dr. Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Not that numbnuts Brian Williams, for God's sake.
Absolutely.
The thing about that Rosie thing, and hearing it again made me reinforce it, she sounded like she was reacting the stuff that hadn't happened yet from the audience. Like she was saying, don't worry, it's not sad.
Right.
But the audience hadn't said anything yet.
And incidentally, not to defend Alec Baldwin, but I read today were 17 contempt charges against Kim Basinger for violating the terms of the of visitation.
Only 17.
17.
That's it.
Right.
17, which, you know, I mean, that took, what, a week to come to light, roughly? Mm-hmm. A week to come to light. Mm-hmm. That's not great either. And she claims she didn't release the the tape.
Right. Liar.
Liar.
Right. Freaking liar.
Put her on The View. Vicki Vale.
Vicki Vale.
Well, that's right. She was Vicki Vale.
Yeah.
And Batman.
Batman.
Thank you.
You were going to react negatively, and then you changed. You changed your mind.
Of course. I love
that.
My superheroes,
you,
Mike.
You just processed it differently.
Although I did.
You were going to chastise the boy, and then you you modified that.
I did have a very in-depth discussion with Jan today about why I am not as super jacked up for Spider-Man 3.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
I think I know.
Why?
Because of the black suit.
No, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I guess what I'm saying is I know it's going to be good, and I was really excited for the first one, really excited for the second one. But I said to her, I don't think I got to go see it the first day it comes out. It's super. We were talking about going out of town, and she said, well, do you want to go out of town this weekend? Because I know you wanted to see Spider-Man. You already have indicated. I mean, I do already have tickets for it.
Right.
She,
You already got tickets for it?
Yeah.
Wow. But you don't want to see it the first day.
You're set, then.
They were free tickets, Mike. They're free tickets.
How did you acquire them?
Toby?
Kirsten.
From,
Kirsten Drunks.
I think from, Rich Crackers.
Well, so you have free tickets.
Just like when you
They sent them to you in the mail? Or did you go down to the theater to get them?
No, it was a thing where we were in the grocery store, and she said, look, if you buy two boxes of Ritz crackers, like you get two Spider-Man tickets. So I said, buy them.
I love that. I do. But here I was thinking, you know, you are, you know, major radio person.
Please.
You know, you're a player.
No.
Not a player hater.
Player hater.
And you go into the supermarket and you buy a couple of boxes of Ritz crackers and you get your free tickets. So you don't. So can you take them to any theater?
Any theater.
Any theater
Anything
you want.
You want.
Great.
But
you can go out of town and see the movie too.
Yeah, but I don't feel the urgency to see it the first weekend. Okay. You know what I mean? It's not a bad thing about the Spider-Man movies.
If they haven't really turned on the hype machine yet, have they? I mean, won't you be getting that tomorrow and the next day in the newspaper?
Oh, the hype machine is plenty on. I mean,
really, they're going to go over the top when the reviews start coming out. That's the last-minute kick.
The lack of urgency. Is this something that Spider-Man has done? I'm sorry. I'm trying to ask this straight. Is it something that Spider-Man has done, or do you feel perhaps somehow you've grown?
Yes.
Oh, no, I've not grown at all.
Okay.
I know it's going to be there. I know it's going to be great. And because of this world we live in where, like, I go on. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like a dog putting his head out the window. Because I downloaded the first. Stop it, Mike. The first trailer, the second trailer, the third trailer. Like, everything with movies now, I already know exactly what's going to happen.
You know the ending?
Yeah.
I'd go see it because
he becomes the good Spider-Man again at the end of the movie.
I'm going to laugh if I go see it because I can't take that guy Thomas Hayden Church seriously after watching Sideways.
But there's one question that still needs to be answered.
What?
How are the crackers?
I don't even eat them. She eats them.
All the
Did
time?
You have to get to the bottom of the box to get to the tickets? Is it like Cracker Jack?
shake it out.
No, you know what? It was actually kind of embarrassing.
Aren't they individually wrapped, though?
In the checkout line. Yeah. So we're in the checkout line of the store, and Janet is trying to say to them, look, we get free Spider-Man tickets. Uh-huh. And the poor guy at the store says, you know, me, no, no. Doesn't really know.
Right.
So I ended up saying, just take me home. And the next day, the grocery store called and said to her, hey, your Spider-Man tickets are here.
Huh.
So she went all the way back to the grocery store.
Special trip.
And they're like little hologram tickets.
Cool. Real special tickets.
Like, now, are they collector's items?
Golden tickets.
They are, if you like Spider-Man and Ritz Crackers.
Well, why not? Why no enthusiasm for this? Is it, you know why? Maybe because they gave them to you. Maybe because it was, they cheaped themselves out.
I want to see it. I just don't feel the urgency, like, oh my God, I'm going to be behind the car. I've got to see it right the moment it opens.
You usually like to do that.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way about this one.
Interesting.
I think Mike has a point. You want what you can't have. You want what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And because Nabisco gave you tickets.
Yeah, it was so easy. It cheapened it. Cheapened the experience. You don't even realize it. It cheapened the experience.
The National Biscuit Company ruined it for you.
Shut up. God. Seriously.
The National Biscuit Company.
Delicious crackers.
Everybody. I predict you will see it this weekend.
When does it open?
I don't know. You said you would think you Jesus Christ, you were the one that was talking about this weekend going out of town and you want to see the movie.
It was like it's like 2 weekends.
Next week. So a week from Friday.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can
why are we talking about it now then?
May 4th.
Because Janet and I were talking about going out of town and she said, oh, I was looking at the Spider-Man.
See, I thought you said this weekend you were talking about going out of town.
No, we're just talking about going out of town on the weekend that movie opens up.
You could see it this weekend if you flew to Tokyo. Because it's open in Japan. I know. Now that would be fun, wouldn't it? Go to Tokyo to see the movie?
Did you take a couple of extra Flintstone vitamins today?
No.
Okay,
no.
I'm just curious.
Hey, I just got excited when he talked about crackers.
Will you shut up?
I wish this was TV sometimes. Rob did the cartoon version of the eyes looking around the room.
This is quite literally hell on earth.
To Don, to Mike, to Buzz, the eyes just darting.
All right, now we've screwed up the show. We
oh my God.
We haven't hit our break. Joe?
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job.
Yeah, right. Joe. You're right, Joe. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you a dumbass?
Dumbass.
Want to hear one?
Yeah.
Dumbass.
And, okay, big news, breaking news,
Hold on a second, yeah. She's a dumbass.
Big ass.
But he's a bigger ass.
Okay,
dumbass.
Here's my take on this. I think Rosie O'Donnell is unraveling. I think she's a danger to herself. I do. I think Disney has got an enormous problem. I think the woman wakes up every morning and cannot control herself.
Right, O'Reilly.
Can't control herself on any level. Uh-huh. And I think she's going to, something very, very troubling is going to happen. And I also believe that very few people could have got away with what she did.
Mm-hmm.
But because she's a lesbian woman, she got away with it. That says something about our society.
Dumbass.
Wow.
Dumbass.
You're a gigantic dumbass.
Dumbass.
One of the guys.
O'Reilly.
Artistically bankrupt. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, right.
Dumbass.
Oh, thanks. We heard that.
Be warned. This is extremely graphic, so if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
Yeah!
Yes, sir! Uh-oh! Dongo!
Uh-oh! Hey, that's disco.
All right.
Or as they say in Rhode Island, let's ditto.
Ditto.
Hey, our website is open all the time, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
24 hours a day now?
Lots of good, I lied, Mike.
You said all the time. You said all the time, and I thought we'd gone finally.
Daylight hours.
Okay, still haven't gotten the. Is the now hiring sign still up there?
Local sunrise to sunset.
Okay, that's better than we were before. It's a good thing.
We got our website up, and you can go to it anytime, DonandMikeWebsite.com. A lot of good stuff. Audio highlights, your daily log. You got the Photoshop part, the Hollywood part, a very nice message board.
Right.
I was just looking at one of the threads was about our proposed broadcast with Tom Joyner.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be discussed in the higher echelons of CBS Radio and his company, ABC Radio.
Okay.
So give us some time to work that out.
Yeah.
A guy with the screen name of Major Bill wrote,
sure, something like, this is going to happen, like the interview with Merrill Howard Kalin. I guess we should have followed up on that as well. We have been trying desperately.
Oh, no.
Yeah. To try to get this guy on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's no there's no polite way to put this. At first we were going to get, who was it, John, the manager?
We talked to the guy that produced the original...
his TV show, his cable access show, right? Yeah.
And it's been, I guess he said, Joe told me it had been like 10 years since the tape was actually made, and he's lost track of Merrill, but he's still looking for him.
Okay,
you never know what direction that can go in.
So so when we first said, hey, we're going to have him on the show, it's because we did get some contact from this guy.
We kind of thought, we all thought that it was actually, he was still maybe doing that show, too. We thought it was fresh. It was 10 years old. Yeah.
So I guess we have to now ask, if you know where Merrill Howard Kalin is, please contact us.
Yeah. Dynamite APB.
We'd like to have him on the show.
That's us,
boys! Yeah, because we were going to have him on. We wanted to have him on. Now we don't know where he is.
Oh, no!
I hope he's well. I really... What?
Is he's in Infinity Management.
That's a possibility.
But we're looking.
Yeah. How are you doing, Joe?
How are you doing, Joe?
You don't have education and you can't hardly get a job.
Hi, Joe.
There it is.
So that should take care of at least some of the loose ends the little brains have going up on our message board.
Very good.
Mike, are you at all nervous yet about singing the national anthem?
I've been nervous since the decision was made that I... You know, I was actually going to do that. I'm actually very nervous. You know, it's the nervousness comes in this regard. It's the fact that you're singing the national anthem.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's not like you're singing anything else. You know, you got to make sure you do it. And, you know, if it was something where you could, you know, have a little fun or whatever. No, you just get up there and you do the very best you can. And I'm not a singer. And I'm really looking forward to doing this. It's something where I think I said it last summer on the show. It was a fantasy of mine to sing the national anthem at a sporting event. We got a call from all the minor league teams.
Right.
I did it at the Potomac Nationals game. And then through some contacts that John Norman explored, we, you know, they agreed to let me do it. I emphasize they agreed to let me do it.
Saturday night at RFK Stadium here in D.C., the Nationals and the Mets,
right.
7 o'clock, and Mike's going to be singing the national anthem. We'll have the tape for you on Monday's show.
And it's the Mets, so it's going to be a very big game.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime a New York sports team comes into town,
right.
Obviously they're very, you know, they're packed. So, you know, everybody come out to the game, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to sing it at a pace where the one criticism I have when people sing the national anthem a cappella is they linger a little too long.
Right.
I'm not going to rush through it, mm-hmm. but I'm also not going to do one of those things where,
oh, say. Yeah. Not going to do it like Powers Boot?
Oh, say, does that star spangled banner.
Oh,
let's have a conference here.
On the topic of Powers Boot.
Yes.
And, you know, and on the topic of our website, that's the other thing I was going to mention. I was just looking on the website, and some of you little brains tapped into something that my kid told me about, and I called Mike about today, about Powers Booth. The guy who is...
I find the obscure ones, don't I?
Yeah, the guy who is the president right now on 24, okay?
Well, he was vice president. He was vice president Noah Daniels.
So
he's alive, is he?
I was talking to my son, and we got to the point of the conversation where he was pretty much patronizing me, where he says, so, Dad, what's new on the show? And I tell him, I say, Uncle Mike killed today with his Powers Booth impression. And he says, who's Powers Booth? I said, Marty, he's an old actor. He's the guy who's the president now, a 24th vice president. And Bart said, in some film study class, where they were looking at how tragedies became miniseries,
right.
I guess that's the focus of this class.
Sure it is.
It's a media class.
Right.
They watched the made-for-TV movie about Jim Jones.
When I fed him the Kool-Aid.
They had just watched it like 3 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And he said, Dad, the same guy that you're talking about played Jim Jones.
Brief story about that, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, please.
You know, I won an Emmy for that role. There's Reverend Jim Jones in Guyana. I went to the Emmy Awards even though there was a Screen Actors Guild strike. And I accepted my Emmy in spite of the fact that all these actors were out with their highfalutin ways on strike. I took my award and I took it home, and that's what I did. It was a courageous move on my part. I said, screw y'all. I'm Powers Allen Booth, and I'm taking my Emmy Award home. You understand me?
So now we need the merging of the character from 24 with Jim Jones.
Yeah, Jim Jones. Well, I have to look at the Guyana show. I'd just like to say you're all
wonderful.
You really
wonderful. Need to know is drink the Kool-Aid, right?
Yeah. Well, drink the Kool-Aid. We'd like to welcome you to the wonderful resort. You all have your beds, your cots. We had a nice commune, and I'm God. Now drink the Kool-Aid. It's filled with poison.
Bart said that there's a particularly good scene when he's telling everybody as they're on cots, he's touching them on the heads and telling them, drink this, and then we'll all be on the spaceship together.
We're going to be on that spaceship going to paradise. Paradise Booth. The Planet Booth. We're going to the Planet Booth, and you can all join in with me and enjoy yourselves. And after we get back, we're going to go visit Jack Bauer. He's what? I ordered those missiles dropped. Don't you understand?
What about that blonde chick in your office?
Hey, why don't you do me a favor? Let's spend the rest of the night together. Not really presidential behavior. Let me plant my big pockmarked face right on those blonde lips of yours. Sweetheart, you mannish Ann Coulter look alike, you. You.
Hey, look how smart our listeners are. Hold on a second.
What are they doing now? Are they causing trouble? They causing
a
ruckus?
No, hold on.
That's what your listeners do normally.
Now I want to give this guy credit.
Cause a ruckus.
This guy posted this yesterday at 5:04 p.m.
Okay.
I remember Powers Booth from the Jim Jones TV movie
from
the 1980s.
That's about his biggest thing. He did Deadwood, too, but nobody really watched Deadwood, right?
That's from a guy named D's Nuts. Good for him. That's a good pull. He had it yesterday. I just found out about it today.
Yeah, we all did, as a matter of fact.
You should read this.
And then they've got some stuff from him on Tombstone. So, yeah, it's all over our website.
Is there anything about my complexion?
There is none.
Do they do anything about my complexion? Like why I have those little, they're not really pock marks as much as needle point marks. Like somebody's been hatcheting away at my countenance with a dart. A tiny little bar dart that you'd see in any pub, any bar across this country.
Drink that Kool-Aid.
Drink the Kool-Aid. Now kiss me, Blondie. And drop the bomb on them. That's what I say. I'm Noah Daniels Powers Allen Booth. How y'all doing? You know where I was born in real life?
Where?
Texas. You surprised?
No. Everything's bigger in Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas. Yeah,
don't mess with Texas.
Mess with me. I wish my dermatologist had messed with me a little bit. I surely, surely do.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, we're talking about Powers Booth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we love Powers Booth.
He was in Rick Dunn.
Yeah, that's great. That's fine. Thanks for dropping that on me with Patrick Swayze, Red Dawn.
Red Dawn.
Wonderful performance I did, but didn't change my pockmarks. I got pockmarks the size of lifesavers.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, I was calling to talk to Don and Mike about Powers Booth.
People coming out of the woodwork, you see?
Powers Booth.
There's something to be said for a character actor.
What's happening?
Get a grip on yourself, son. You only got a few minutes of radio time to deal with here.
Did you see Red Dawn, his great appearance in Red Dawn?
Someone just mentioned that. You're repeating yourself.
Just had it.
For Christ's sake, I'm going to break up the room pretty soon.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Powers Booth also had his head explode in Scanners.
Oh. Out of character.
Is he the guy?
No, that's not the guy. That's not Powers Booth. Because you're talking about the guy that was in Starship Troopers.
The famous scene in Scanners when the guy's head blows up?
No, that guy is the guy from Starship. You know the sergeant?
Starship Troopers is also him.
Nope. No. A different actor we're talking about.
Are you talking about the guy in Starship Troopers?
That has the arm blown off.
Totally different actor.
Yeah, totally different actor.
Not in
but that's the guy from Scanners that has his head blow off.
Right. And that's the guy who in the movie about the big ants has, what does he have, one arm?
One arm, and he still continues, like, with a prosthetic on it, and he is, he's the big drill sergeant. He's effectively the drill sergeant in Starship Troopers.
And don't you remember how everybody loved that? That's that shower scene when that movie first came
when
out.
When the men and the women are just showering and they're not thinking
like
anything about
it. Nothing to it.
Wouldn't that be special?
Oh, boy.
I think you want to go grab a public shower, wouldn't it?
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey. Huh?
A.
Hey.
B. C. D.
Hey,
F. Fail.
Bye!
I'm sorry, it's a sliding.
He didn't get his act together. Not in time.
Hi, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Donna Mike, how you guys doing?
Slow on the uptake. Y'all slow, you're too slow.
Hey, Mike, the one line that I can't believe you guys forgot on 24 was when he said, your president's a dirty old man.
Well, now, maybe I could say it to you.
Yeah, baby.
Your president's a dirty old man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, go grab a change of boxer shorts and meet me back in the Oval Office closet. Thank you, young man.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Scoop, off you go now. I'm tired of you.
There he goes to listen to himself. Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
1-1000.
And I'll try that one. Hi, Don and Mike.
When you're so eager to call, you call from the tunnel.
Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey. Powers, are you there?
I'm not sure I want to go down this road. Talking to listeners and such.
Could you talk to Morgan Freeman?
I don't like those kind of requests.
Now everyone knows, please, Mike is a fragile flower. He's a performer.
I got a powerful headache talking to you.
Whoa.
Your president's a dirty old man. I like that line.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops. That was my error. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I wanted to compliment you on your restaurant, man. Me and the wife went there Thursday night. That was great.
Thanks. Look around, cafe.
Well, I'll raise a flag since you didn't get food poisoning. Good stuff. Clear the air.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Powers Booth also played in a movie called Frailty.
What's Frailty? What is that?
Oh, that was a movie with Matthew McConaughey.
Ah! Well, it's got to be great then.
Oh, it was, you got to check it out. It was a really good movie.
Yeah, I'll check it out because I love Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, McConaughey, cocky little upstart.
Get out of here, please.
He's got him. McConaughey and Booth.
Hi there. You're on the air. This is the Don Mike Show.
Hey, just want to say that I think that guy was talking about Michael Ironside from Starship Troopers.
That's the guy, Michael Ironside. I think that's the name of the guy.
Thank you.
And he's another guy that's the evil. He's even more evil than Powers Booth. He's got that sinister face. He's played some bad
guys. He's been in a lot of movies. And probably more movies than that guy, Powers Booth.
More feature films, definitely. A great character actor.
Plays the heavy a lot.
A lot of heavy. And Scanners is one of the great scenes of all time, where he's just this evil creature.
And that head blows up.
Oh, my God.
Boy, oh, boy.
Incredible.
I like to die the first time I saw that.
You like to fall out when that happens?
I like a fall out. I said, get her done!
That was special.
And I said it way back before Larry the Cable Guy. I said, get her done!
That's right. Did you say that? I'm proud of you. I'd give you a pat on the back if I was close enough to do so.
Gosh, I'm thirsty.
You're thirsty? Would you like some of my pus?
Oh. I was going back to the Jim Jones thing.
Would you like some Kool-Aid? I was going back to the pockmark thing. You know, there must have been a day when I was spaghetti face. Must have been nasty. Not nasty no more. Power Salmon Booth from Texas. I'm getting an ice cream headache.
Okay, well then we'll pause.
Let's take a pause.
Pause.
Take a duke.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, Natalie, I was really, really sorry to hear about your dad.
What happened?
My dad was just diagnosed with liver cancer.
Oh, my God. That's so bizarre. You guys, my remote needs batteries.
Everybody be careful. These things happen in threes.
Why don't you just go to Fantastimart and buy a new battery?
Why doesn't Natalie just go to Fantastimart and buy her father alive again, Brian?
He's alive. He's just sick.
Natalie, please.
Listen, I don't want to fight.
Right? Brunch is supposed to be an escape from the liver cancers and the batteries of life.
Here, here! The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Here, here.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right. Our top winner in the showcase is Gay.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
What not? What not? What not?
This is not what you signed up for. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Right.
Hey. Long time caller, first time listener.
Right. Long time. Call well, first
hang,
time.
Hang up and we'll listen.
Oh, no, no, the other way. I'm sorry.
What can we do for you, my friend?
Well, you see, I was wondering, you were talking about 24, so I hope I'm not coming way late to the table here, but I was wondering if you, sir, are willing to admit that they have not just jumped the shark, they've gone back and forth across it many, many times now.
Sir, perhaps you would like to admit that those who still use the trite phrase, jump the shark, have themselves jumped the shark by simply invoking jumping the shark.
Is jumping the shark an old enough expression where it's old enough to be new again?
No. No, absolutely not.
Now, Rob, you don't count when we're asking questions like that. You live in the 1930s.
You know it is based on the episode of Happy Days.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that.
Where that is in folklore, where
right.
Happy Days went off the cliff,
uh-huh.
is when Fonzie was water skiing over a shark.
Jumped the shark.
When he jumped a shark.
So it's a similar expression to screw the pooch.
Yeah, it's like when a TV show, when a radio show, when a movie, when a band, when a sports team goes bad.
Okay.
And there was a website, eight years ago,
right.
You know, jumptheshark.com.
Right.
God knows you probably searched this show there. Can't imagine those people think we probably have.
So Jump the Shark comes to us from Happy Days.
Right. Yeah, and it's so old that at least in my way of thinking, the people who now say something jumps, they're jumping the shark by saying, has it jumped the shark?
So they're playing with fire.
Yes.
They're teetering on the edge of extinction.
Yes, they are.
They're jumping the shark.
I've just noticed on this CD. Give me a moment.
Is there a Jump the Shark reference on there?
No, there's not. But there's a really great song for the tapes from the guy from NBC.
Oh, good.
There's a really good song for those tapes.
Only.
Hey.
1, 2.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I'll be the one gonna take off your clothes? I carry a gun everywhere I go. I'll just be your secret lover.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
I like rape.
So I bring you to see.
That was tidy. You were motivated with that song.
It's just when there's a real jive.
DJ Chris Hansen.
When there's a jive song on one of these discs.
Chris Hansen talks up the hits.
It only works with the songs they really... Oh, here's... Is this another... God, this is another absolutely just pussy song.
Love songs.
God, for goodness sakes.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I carry a gun everywhere I go.
Yeah, that's tight. That's tight.
Not much. Chris Hansen.
Okay. Chris Hansen from Dateline.
Lost my place there when I noticed the great Engelbert Humperdinck was on that.
You know, is there anything better than that when you're talking soft rock?
After the love, and I still want a Humperdinck with you, baby.
You didn't jump the shark with that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mike, just want to tell you, man, when you're at the game singing the anthem, just think of me in a little dark room and me turn your ass up, boy.
Thank you, Sling Blade. That's all I will think of when I'm singing the anthem.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
With Power Booth's greatest movie, you're forgetting Wolverine with Patrick Swayze.
Well, you know, you have to throw an S on the end of his first name or he's not going to give you any respect.
Power.
Power Booth.
Powers.
Power Booth, you make it sound like it's some sort of DJ booth.
That's where the Power Rangers would go.
Power Booth. I have to go recharge.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
My lord, my lady.
Yeah, what's up?
I know we're talking about Power's Booth, but hey, have you heard the one about the three Canadian hunters from Saskatoon?
Three Canadian hunters?
God.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters from
from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Now, that's cold up there. Three Canadian hunters were out in the woods one cold afternoon. And the first Canadian hunter says, look,
this is quite literally hell on earth.
I can't do that again.
No.
We can't hear that again.
No way.
Okay. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Yes, it's you.
This is the Don and Mike show. Hello, we'll try that again. Radio station.
Don and Mike.
At your cervix.
Yes, I was wanted to talk to you about the Powers Booth. He was in a movie as a Navy spy with the biggest POA there was, Leslie Ann Warren. Do you remember the name of that?
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I can make an argument for Leslie Ann Warren being the biggest POA.
Oh, in her day, she was absolutely
I don't think
doable.
Even in her day when she was Cinderella, I don't think she was that good.
I think she was doable. Absolutely. I don't think she's
She got the anus eyes.
No, I think she's good looking.
Well, you don't have the eyes, Mike.
Who would you do? Here's a good one for you. And we're going back a ways, and I think they're similar age women.
Are you going to throw her up with Jacqueline Bisset?
No. Who? Oh, no way, because that's not even a competition. Leslie Ann Warren or Ann Archer?
Leslie Ann Warren, she's got huge jugs.
See, Ann Archer. Ann Archer, very sexy.
Now, even Ann Archer,
Sexy.
Ann Archer in the Dead Bunny movie, sexy. Ann Archer.
Fatal Attraction.
Ann Archer in the Tom Clancy movie, sexy.
Yep.
But Leslie Ann Warren, hello, mommy.
Leslie Ann Warren got, well, she does, yeah, she does have that quality.
Have you
seen? She got the goofy eyes.
You don't have the eyes. Have you seen the pictures of Jamie Presley pregnant?
No.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
I take it you have.
Oh, daddy likey.
How far along is she?
I don't know, about 4 months.
Really?
Anyway, the quote is...
The fairy has arrived?
The quote is something like, I'm going to have enough milk to feed every starving child.
Wow. Did you just reread the quote about 50 times when you saw that?
I have to revolt wallpaper in my bedroom.
Oh, no. She is hot.
Yeah.
She is hot. I didn't know that she was with child.
She's pregnant, hot as balls.
Really?
Really.
Wow. Any photograph accompanying the...
Yeah. She's at, like, the Golden Globes, if you'll pardon the pun, or whatever it is she's
it's
at.
An appropriate award show.
She's got a very tight, I think it's a brown dress on.
Really?
Where did I see it? Any cool news or something? I'll find it and bring it in.
Buzz, I think you're going to have to rethink your DVDs you get him next Christmas.
Apparently.
You know?
For pregnant women.
Hey, listen, I just like a nice big breast.
I know.
I like a nice big breast.
Well, you seem to, you talk that, you say she's pregnant, and you go, daddy like, you know.
Right, because, again, getting back to my experience.
Yes.
Whoever the father of this baby is.
Right.
Now's going to be the best sexual time he's ever had. Because, well, you know why.
I know, because of the booby fairy.
You're going to make me say it again, because the booby fairy is.
Yes, I know.
Because she doesn't really feel the need, pregnant women don't, a lot of times feel the need, the urge that they had.
Right.
So, As the dad-to-be, you can go to the woman and say...
You can modify the activity a little bit.
I need some release, you know.
And, you know, would you mind...
God's helping you out by...
Right.
By filling out your bra.
Right, exactly. Right.
And really, all you really got to do is just pretty much just stand there. Sit there. Lay down.
Right. And then there's some other options as well.
Yeah, sure.
You know, including the... You know, the
you can make it across.
True fame option.
You can make it across the room.
True fame.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of other initials that would start with T and F.
Oh, yeah, TF, of course.
TF.
Mike, you can have straight-out intercourse with a pregnant woman until, what, Bun? What, Buzz? Until, like, the ninth month, I believe.
Yeah, actually, you can.
What the hell are you asking him for?
No, I mean, technically,
has he been there?
Usually, you can.
Buzz, you've never been there, have you?
No.
No. You sure?
I am sure.
All right.
But a boy can dream.
right up until you hear this sound. I'm not an advocate of that.
Of the normal relations late in a
normal man on woman sex while the
I'm not either.
While my lady has got.
And what did you say the cutoff for that is in your mind for you?
Probably the day she comes home from the hospital and tells me that
no
she's pregnant.
He's saying what's the cutoff. Where you know, during before the baby's born.
Yeah. Oh, that you'll have sex.
When until what month do you think you can be active?
regular sex.
Until she starts really looking so pregnant that it's like you realize you're
That'd be about 6 months.
Like you're having sex, really.
You still have that in your mind, and I think all men do. A lot of men do.
And
men like us, men that are stupid like us, we have that in our mind.
And that's where you have that beautiful grace period, that 3 to 4 months where
right.
It's just, what can you do? Can you imagine her pregnant?
No.
Hot as balls.
It's favorite time.
You bet.
That's exactly what it is. So you're not then a real connoisseur. You know, you can look at Jamie Presley and you can look at what the result of her condition has brought her. But as far as like some of the crap you see, you would not be in that category.
No, listen, I don't want to have sex with these women.
Well, you sure sound like it.
I want them to service me.
See, now you've made it clear. I didn't even know that. I didn't know the answer to that.
What is my favorite movie of all time? What is my favorite genre of porn movie?
So that is, that would be the ultimate fantasy.
Are you kidding me?
Jamie Presley, as she is today.
Jamie Presley, about 4 months pregnant, giving a handy.
That's. You think that's going to see the light of day?
Sure. giving pleasure.
I think that's fair.
A pregnant Jamie Presley giving pleasure using only the limbs that God gave her.
A man's fantasy. And, of course, you're talking about her feet.
That's your kinky world, not mine.
That's actually never been done.
That's always what I have always thought with my love of women
you never articulated that.
It's about that.
Were you supposed to get inside of that brain of yours and figure out kink is?
What do you think I wanted to like bend them over and
yes. Sure.
For goodness sake, just scramble.
Now, why are you, you're looking at me like
brain.
I'm being ridiculous, and you completely have talked with unbelievable lust in your heart about anything pregnant.
I have articulated over the years that there reaches the point when she's pregnant when you no longer have sex.
About 6 months. But you never talk about that.
Intercourse.
You never talk about that. You always talk about, the
boobs.
Ooh, daddy liking. And I think that,
that's why daddy likey.
So you like it because really there's no business down there at all.
Yes. It's in my world.
It's closed. That's exactly right.
Except for the fact that intercourse is just so swell.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the perfect scenario.
Yeah.
Really, if you're a totally selfish person,
where, pleasure for the other person doesn't matter.
No work.
Correct.
No work.
Like, what if Jamie Lee Presley was a paraplegic? Or just,
God forbid.
Paralyzed from the waist down.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't she still deserve the chance to pleasure me?
Well said. Sure she would. In your fantasy, yes.
When women are pregnant, when they reach a certain point in my mind, they're paralyzed from the waist down.
About 6 months, we've decided. That's a very interesting way of looking at it.
Which means they are totally into it from the waist up.
And dependent on getting their gratification from pleasing
you.
Yeah.
Well, and also, they don't get gratification out of it. They're doing
sure
it.
They do. They might get it. Yeah, it might be a turn-on.
Not at that point.
Sure.
No, by that point, the sex drive for her is already gone anyway.
You never know.
I'm just talking about women in general.
Yeah. I think women are very like
they're thinking about their hot flashes and
it varies
what color to paint the room and
depending on what time it is. But a lot of women will say that not necessarily to the end of the line, but they can derive a great deal of satisfaction out of doing other things, not just down there.
I know, but okay. Now to be totally graphic with you, are you talking about her doing stuff to you?
Yes.
Okay. Here's why maybe I wouldn't be for that.
Really? Why?
Well, because
why?
That would involve her being mobile. I mean, meaning she's going to have to move around. She's going to have to...
What you do require would require just a little bit of mobility, too. What you're asking for.
But generally speaking...
You can stay in one spot.
Generally speaking, the thing is, I don't know how ready I would be for it the moment I realize, oh my God, she's really pregnant.
What about a combination of both?
Only in the beginning stages.
Then you want to...
Theory set cut off.
Interesting.
finding more about you, more out about you than I really want to know right now.
So are you happy? Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I never. What turned me off always was that I thought you were talking about the whole thing, you know, the whole package. And you know that there are sickos out there that are fetishists that like that kind of thing. I find that absolutely abhorrent.
That is where the baby comes out.
And bingo. There you go. See, now I understand. You put it in such perspective that I completely understand what you're talking about.
Right.
And with Jamie Presley, who is one fine, fetching woman.
Check it out, Daddy-O.
And no picture. Did you say there was a picture or not?
There are like, oh, yeah. Johnny, you got the pictures?
Hollywood Rag on our site.
Oh, it's on our site?
Yep. Linked now, I guess.
Hold on, we got a link on our site? Do you have the pictures in front of you, John?
I do. On the message board, go to the Hollywood Rag section, and it's like the third or fourth.
Hold on, this is the slowest mouse in the world.
Message board.
Nothing.
Stuart Little was my mouse.
Hollywood Rag.
And don't forget that House was in Stuart Little.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't enjoy it. It's a stupid kids movie.
It's like the 6-1 down, Buzz.
Okay, hold on a second. God damn. My computer is slow. You got it there, Buzz?
It's loading now.
I enjoyed that. Perhaps I'd enjoy getting my eyelids last.
If it's the pictures
lit on fire. If they are the pictures that I've seen that are on my computer, she has a brown dress on.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's gray, I think. But anyway, here it is.
Yeah.
There you go.
Scroll down a little bit now.
This explains everything.
Scroll down to the next.
See what I'm doing here.
Check it out.
That top one is the best.
Scroll down a little more. Yeah. Daddy like it. Yeah.
All the way up to the top.
Hey, you know something?
Wow.
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Oh. There you go.
Mike.
That's
God.
The favorite picture.
Okay, so.
Wow.
You want to debate that topic with me anymore?
Now that I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
we both do. Yeah, we all do. I'm sorry. Here.
Well, you're really not included, Buzz. You've never really jumped on the other side of the fence like Mike has all those years.
I know. Wow.
Ain't that nice?
Still, I love
But it's still... At somewhere,
it still doesn't do it for me because I see the tummy a little too much. And it's
well, that's why when she's posing for you, you get her to put like a little pillow or something.
But you know, I'd be lying to you. You know what? No, it wouldn't matter. Really? I'm not gonna just debate you for the sake of debating
you. Thank you.
Because really, that photograph, one of the finest.
Yeah. Thank you.
Very nice.
One of the finest I've ever seen.
Now
look at her. Statuesque.
Here's another picture. Oh, we got to hit a break. But here's a picture we should put up on our website today. That is not sexy. This is.
Oh, no. What the hell are you going to show me? What are you going to show me?
Who's your... How Roger Ebert is doing.
Oh, no. No. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Okay, let me compose myself.
Okay.
Take a breath. One more.
All right.
Here you go, Mike. Here are two pictures of Roger Ebert as he is today.
Jesus Christ.
Well, hi, everybody.
Wow. Hang in there, Raj. Jeez. That's too bad.
Yeah.
He's got his thumb up.
He's a fighter.
Right.
Going to a film festival this week.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he
going to skip a chemo, I think, or rearrange it?
Let's put him up on the website today. Oh, Johnny, Johnny, what?
Again, under Hollywood Rag, just below the Jamie Presley pictures, already up.
Why don't you guys just do show prep then based on our website?
No, I
wow.
have no idea.
Our listeners are fast.
They are. They had it up about the same time I saw it this morning.
God damn.
Wow.
I didn't know that. Okay.
He's going to a film festival?
Yes, he is. I forgot what it's called. It's in Urbana, Illinois. He goes every year. It's Obscure Films.
Bet he gets a good parking spot.
Well, that's good. He's earned it.
Yeah, he has.
Thumbs up to good parking.
Jesus. Who doesn't like good parking? God, no one that I know.
Anyway, yeah.
In fact, I never
photo.
Knew.
From the beautiful to the infirmed.
How about that?
You get it all on this show.
Picture that.
Wow.
Picture Jamie Presley taking care of Roger Ebert.
Okay.
Oh.
Jesus.
And Roger Ebert in an adult diaper.
Oh, dear.
For no particular reason, except we had a guy on the show yesterday.
My goodness.
Discussing adult diapers.
Ebert's had two failed surgeries to try and get his jawbone rebuilt. And
really?
That's
is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is he cancer-free, or is he just getting the plastic surgery now?
He had the cancer was in his jaw, so they had to remove a hunk of jaw.
Oh, yeah, the jaw bones connected to the
neck bone.
Thigh bone.
Neck bone connected to the shoulder bone. The jaw bones connected to the thigh bone.
Yeah. I'd like to meet her.
Touché.
Wow.
Be right back.
This is the Don and...
Do you ever laugh on people with a retardation? Here in America, we try not to make fun of or be funny with things that people don't choose. But perhaps you have not seen someone with a very funny retardation. My brother Bilo have a very funny retardation.
And mental retardation, you know, causes a lot of pain and hardship for a lot of families.
Sometimes my sister, she show her vagina to my brother Bilo and say, you will never get this, you will never get this, la 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 la. He behind this cage, crazy, crazy, everybody laughs. She go, you never get this. But one time, he break a cage and he get this.
Oh.
And then a will laugh, high five.
Now, no, that would not be funny in America. Okay?
The Don and Mike right. Show.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
They wear corrective shoes on their brains. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let me see. You had asked about Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, please.
He went on TV and radio today screaming his head off.
He's excited.
About her, and he's not only mad about, he's happy that she's fired, but he's mad at her again. I had not heard this, I just read this a moment ago. Rosie O'Donnell is hosting the Matrix Award in front of New York's most accomplished women in media
Okay. Yesterday.
She's talking about Donald Trump. She dropped the F-bomb and then ended the rant by grabbing her crotch and shouting, "Eat me, Donald Trump."
Rosie. Hi, Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Wow. Well, you know, once The Apprentice gets canceled, and now that Rosie's free, perhaps they'll both be available to do their own show together.
Let me see a quick follow-up. Simon Cowell says his home was not robbed while he was taping American Idol.
Oh, good.
Heather Mills was voted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
It's a shame.
And Sheryl Crow says she was only kidding about that one square toilet.
It's a little joke.
Just kidding. Really glad that this gave the entire Greenpeace movement or whatever we're calling it now.
The Green Movement.
The Green Movement. If you have a Green Movement, see your doctor and use more than one square.
Well, you don't necessarily have to run right out to the doctor, but if it's, if it's black, it's a tough situation.
If it's black, send it back.
Yeah, it's, it's hard.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry I did that. That's actually in medical literature.
Wouldn't it be great if Hollywood Squares was actually reincarnated and each Hollywood celebrity just had a square of toilet tissue?
One square. And you somehow worked that into the actual game.
Well, what if you had to guess who the celebrity was based on the square?
Like what it looked like?
Oh, yeah.
I see.
Post usage.
Post? Sorry, that's not a match.
Post.
Wow.
Always against Bruce Valanche. Always.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be easy to tell.
And how about if you had an episode?
This would be the one with, just a little bit in his, be a tiny little inch left.
How could you tell the difference between Whoopi's square and Bruce Valanche's square?
It'd be very difficult, but I'm with Rob on that. I think Bruce Valanche.
It's almost like that time that you and I were in downtown D.C. and we saw a big sample, and we couldn't decide if it was made by a homeless guy or by a gigantic dog.
Wasn't the conclusion? Frank discovered this, our old producer, and it was on the way down to see the Chuck Norris film because he was coming on the show the following day. And didn't you guys both conclude?
Human.
Didn't we all conclude it was human?
Absolutely.
That had to be some special dog if that was the case.
Texture, the
taste.
The taste.
I got 8 million goddamn lists here. You tell me which list is it? Which list is most appealing?
All right,
to you?
Go.
All of the things that you'll eat in your life,
mm-hmm.
or Rolling Stones' 25 guilty pleasure bands, or the 25 best songs to listen to when you're high, or the most annoying songs of all time.
Most annoying songs of all time.
But it's so subjective.
Yes, it is.
That really, it opens up.
I know what number one is.
Just as well doing it because it opens up a whole a range of discussion.
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure you know what number one is?
No, because I don't have the list in front of me, but I have a theory. I base it on my own personal experience.
Wait, what do you think it is?
I think it's Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy.
That's you speaking, Mike, not America speaking.
Well, wait a minute. Is this list put together by Americans?
Yes.
Or is it some Canadian think tank?
No, yes, it
Rich
is.
Little. Yes,
Rich Little
is.
Did it.
Yes, it is.
So this is a survey.
Yeah. It's
okay.
The, let me see. An internet site. Was it music.com?
Internet.
The most annoying songs of all time.
Hmm.
Now, everybody's got theirs.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Macarena. You know,
there have been a lot of annoying songs.
One man's Don't Worry, Be Happy is another man's Macarena, Mike. Mm-hmm.
I don't think those two songs should be mentioned in the same sentence. One has brought me a great deal of pleasure.
As has one with me.
Yes, you hours listening to Bobby McFerrin on your deck at home.
And, my lord, you hours not only listening to, but
doing
the Macarena.
Dancing the Macarena.
Doing the Macarena.
Hey, Macarena.
Okay, let me see. These are the most annoying songs of all time.
Good. Based on a survey of Americans.
Yep. At number 20, it's this piece of crap.
We'll laugh on the farm, kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Now, you know what? Once again, personal experience, but for all those years going to the Orioles games, I kind of like that little ditty. It makes me think of summer and baseball.
Oh. I write that one as annoying.
Yeah.
Here we go, the next one, number 19.
We disagree once again.
Number 19, I think you'll agree with me on this one. Nothing annoying about this one, and I wouldn't count this one as a song.
They will choke.
Oops, sorry.
I don't think it's annoying.
Just more of white racist America, Mike.
It sure is.
I'm sorry I said that.
That's a tragedy. That is a tragedy. You know what? I like it so much. You know what I like the best about it? I love the ending.
Yes, I agree.
God, that's got a great ending. Well, an American Idol can hit this note.
Stop it. It just screwed up the whole stupid machine. You think that song is annoying?
Damn.
Oh, baby.
Oh, no.
Florida Evans.
Okay, so then you've got the next one on the list is this one.
Yo!
Annoying. Spice Girls.
Yeah, I don't know if it's top 20 annoying, but it's annoying.
Again, it's a subjective list.
Yeah, see, that's the part that gets annoying.
Okay,
right there.
Then the next song on the list is this one, which I do not follow as being annoying at all, really.
What?
No. Play that funky music, white boy.
Oh, this is great.
No. How can this song be annoying?
Oh, come on. I sounded like Hugh Hamilton just then. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Don't never, ever trust fighting.
Right. Everybody knows that one. Bound, 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 bound.
It's a great song.
Okay, now the next one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say, I'm a faggot.
Be proud. And you don't find this annoying, this next song. Be proud.
I have a gold record on my wall for it. It's those Ugly Muppets Handsome. Mm-bop. Comes in as the 16th most annoying song of all time.
All right, now this list is, doesn't make sense. Both. It's not relevant enough to be on the top 20.
I love this song the first time I heard it.
Pop record.
Umbop by Handsome.
Yeah, okay.
I'm queer. I like that.
But, I mean, don't you think, really, even though you have a gold record for it, do you think that's a relevant enough song to even make the list?
No, I don't. I think the song should be made up more of tunes like number 15.
Okay.
Now you want annoying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Muskrat Susie and effing Muskrat Sam.
Muskrat, candlelight.
Captain
in the town.
You mean you're not fond of the little sound effects that they do at the end?
I did it.
Muskrat loves her horny muskrats.
Number 14.
Oh, Tony.
Again. It's a theme song from a TV show.
Right.
I don't find it annoying. You tell me if you do.
No.
The theme to I Dream of Jeannie.
This is a classic. Who doesn't
love this?
Who doesn't think of, like, afternoons coming home from school?
Buzz, everyone right now is doing what you're doing.
Singing along. And another one with a fantastic ending. You don't have to play that one, but it's just... Yeah, I like this. It's bubbly. It's peppy.
Okay. Number...
Shut up!
Number 13, most annoying song of all time.
Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mambo number 5.
I love it.
I don't find this to be annoying.
I don't either.
I really don't.
On the air finger.
The only guitar hero was this easy.
I know. Forget it. Spatula's hero.
Okay, Mambo number 5. Here we go. Here's another one I don't get.
That was Mambo number 5.
This list is not making any sense to me.
Number 12.
12.
Again, must be a list by white people. I'm sorry. It's hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
So hot in here.
By Nelly.
So hot in here.
Nothing annoying about
this. I mean, the only person annoyed by this song is Rob. For the obvious reason.
This is just, you know what I hear when I hear this? This is just a hit record.
Right.
This is a hit record. And I mean, what guy wouldn't hear this? It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. Hello?
I'm offended.
Bud says that all the time.
Number 11.
Yep, thank you. Yes. Yes.
Here's the question, though.
Passionately.
Which is more annoying? YMCA or in the Navy? Or Macho Man?
YMCA because of its overplayed.
Yes.
And because
you are
all
correct.
The, and all the sporting events where all the people in the middle,
okay,
in the middle of a close game,
you're
have
right
to go into the stupid dance. Because they're just idiots.
I agree with you. You just won me over.
That might be in the top 5 for me.
Yeah. Wow. Let's stop right there.
All right.
We'll come back tomorrow and debut the top 10 for you.
Okay, very good. That's the first one on the list that was completely legit.
At least on this retarded list.
Mm-hmm.
That has the theme.
We all can spell the letters with our arms.
Uh-huh. Duh. Theme from Good Times.
We make the Y like with our arms up in the air, then we come down to, and we touch our shoulders and we make the M, and then we make the C. The A is hard.
If you think that list is good, wait till we get to the list of the songs of the 25 songs that potheads love to listen to while they're high.
Well, I know there's one person on this staff that's going to enjoy that. I really, really do.
Run off a second copy if you could.
He's nice.
He's nice. Are you perusing it already?
Peeking ahead.
I mean,
Is it also a bad list?
Well, first off,
can I ask one question?
Yeah.
Is there anything from Floyd on there?
Of course, Floyd's number one.
I would have. Thank you.
All right. Shining Your Crazy Diamond, man, parts 1 through 5.
That is a good song.
Right. Buzz, did you hear Buzz?
I do like that quite a lot.
That is a good song.
You, me, bar, beers, Buzz.
Right. Very good.
We got a break. We'll pick this up when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. And Mike Show.
My grandfather, in his heyday, slept with all the dancers on a cop backstage. And when the show was over, you know what he'd do? He'd dip his in vodka when he was through. Dip your in vodka when you're through.
And he's done.
Dip your in vodka, that's what you should do. Dip your in vodka to prevent the flu. Dip your in vodka, that's a can-do. When my mom taught me the birds and the bees, she said the clap will kill you, son. It's a painful disease. but don't go down like cocaine or Al Capone. Dip your in vodka or don't bring it home. Dip your in vodka.
Ooh.
Ow. Dip your in vodka. It's gonna sing down fast.
That's the song by Andy Dick.
I love AD.
Your throat with the umbilical cord of comedy. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
All right, hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Let's turn on our celebrity hotline. We've got about 10 minutes here to talk to the beautiful Jacqueline Smith.
Ah, ooh, that
Hello.
Is wonderful.
Hello, Jacqueline Smith. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Jacqueline? Huh. Jacqueline, are you there? Hello?
Okay, this is going well.
Hello?
Gone badly, huh?
Did we say something already?
I don't think so.
No, we didn't say anything.
And the line just went Lily Munster on us. Went Yvonne DiCarlo on us.
Wow.
We're told she has exactly 10 minutes.
Right.
Who doesn't love Jacqueline Smith?
Everybody. A Charlie's Angel.
And the only Charlie's Angel that's not let herself fall off the cliff with bad plastic surgery.
She still manages to look stunning.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope you enjoyed her appearance on the show. That bit of silence.
A nice round of applause for her.
That bit of silence you heard was Jacqueline Smith.
Jacqueline. Can't imagine.
What,
did she hear something she objected to?
John,
the Andy Dick song?
There she is.
Oh, good. Maybe it's just a problem, technically. Okay. All right. We're getting her back. I'm hopeful.
We have her now? Hello, Jacqueline? Hello?
Hello?
Ah, finally.
Jacqueline Smith, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
We had a little technical problem there. Sorry about that.
I was on my mobile. It didn't work.
Oh, it happens a lot. Don't worry about it.
I thought we said something that would offend you.
And we haven't said anything to her yet. So,
yeah, you know, that's right.
We're a little paranoid. We're a little paranoid lately.
Oh,
you know?
God. We are. Yes, that happens. I was on... I was trying not to do mom's call because call waiting. So if we have big things coming in, I don't know how to... We'll just keep overlooking them.
No problem.
Well, okay.
Jacqueline Smith has a show tonight on Bravo. The show is called...
Sheer Genius.
Sheer Genius. Uh-huh. And it's about hairstyles. And we'd love to talk about your show. And we will talk about your show. But can we talk about you? Can we talk about you and how fantastic you are? And how of all of the Charlie's Angels, not only were you always the favorite, really, in this day and age, now in the year 2007, look at you, Jacqueline Smith.
Yeah.
You don't look like Frankenstein's bride.
Mm-hmm.
you don't have your head pulled all the way up to your chin pulled up to your ears.
You look fantastic. You still look great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What is your secret, Jacqueline?
Oh, gosh, clean living, I don't know, thank you, you know, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, though, you know, pretty is pretty does, all those southern expressions my mother said all of my life, you know, she's up there in age, she's fallen and broken a bone in her neck and looks amazing and is full of courage and strength, and so I guess that's inspiring.
So you got good genes.
Yeah, it's nice to surround yourself with
How is it, Jacqueline, that you were on this great show, Charlie's Angels, one of the most well-known, beautiful women in the world, and you didn't get all screwed up like the other people on the show? Well, why is it that you seem to be the normal one at the end of it all?
I upbringing. I had the best parents in the world, and their example was something that, you know, I admired and respected, and I think it's the choices we make. I don't know. We just... sort of born. It's in my DNA, I guess. This sort of, you know, clean living.
Was that looking back? Was that, you know, the best of times for you when you were doing Charlie's Angels?
It could have been. I'm not saying the best. It's the best in the world. I mean, you know, we all suffered through a lot of stuff. I watched friends suffer through things. You know, it did turn our lives around. I mean, it was amazing in that way. And I think of it in a positive way, but we all had major changes in our life through that 5 years. But that's life. I mean, it doesn't always go on a smooth plane, and it's the ups and downs. So I'm grateful for it. I learned a lot. Friends were made. It opened doors for me. But, you know, it wasn't the easiest. I mean, frankly, the 80s were great. My children were born, so that's my favorite.
Well, what was, seriously, what was the toughest part of it? I mean, what was the, you know, you're saying there were highs and lows, but what's something that really was, you know, what you would think would be the toughest thing about that? Was it the notoriety?
Well, I mean, certain things.
Yeah.
You're on the front page of a rag sheet, and it's not based on fact, and your whole life has been about telling the truth. And you think, how did that get in there? And why did that get in there? But then, you know, as time goes on, you learn to say, this is part of the game. This is what happens. And, you know, the public that reads some of those things are in the dark. I mean, in general, I have not had any real negative stories. I guess my life choices and the life I live. But sure, it was out there. I think you lose your privacy a lot. But again, it's those people that keep your show on the air or buy your clothes. And so I'm grateful that I have people that...
Oh, yeah. Hold on, Jacqueline. I forgot you got that whole other racket going, too.
Oh, I got another racket.
Oh, the Kmart thing. I forgot about your whole clothes thing that you got going on as well, too, right?
You didn't seem
yeah,
to,
20
you,
years.
You didn't seem to catch
years.
Any of the heat when all that stuff was going down with Kathy Lee Gifford. You didn't seem to catch as much heat. Is it because of the way... You did it, or what's the reason for that?
Well, I mean, Kmart, they were constantly inspecting their subcontractors. I was assured there was no child labor. Everything. They did not allow me to travel to China to you know, we were making clothes all around the world and some here too. But I was assured that everything was taken care of. Kmart, they do things in mass production. They are masters at that. And you're right. We were very precise on the rules of how we wanted the clothes made, the age of the people making the clothes. So
I could listen to you. I'm sorry. I could listen to you read the obituaries.
I swear to God. You know, I'm here in Houston, Texas. It was a big storm.
You hear a little bit of clang?
I'm probably not making sense.
It is taking every fiber of my being not to say something that I would mean as a compliment, where you would hang up the phone and probably want to hire.
No, that's okay. I'm sort of out of it today, to be honest with you. But, we really... saw to it that there was no child labor. That was my main goal, and I was assured of it, and, I trust Kmart. And we wouldn't have our line doing what it is if things were not done properly.
Yes.
It's 20 years. It's generated about 11.
If it wasn't Jacqueline Smith, I swear to God I would have hung up on her.
Kmart. It's been great. I'm in a home collection. I have my own home.
You know what she's like?
With
like
Kmart.
Andy McDowell without the bitchy attitude. Right.
I have upholstery.
The sexy
I have
voice.
Rugs and
paint. Blah, 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 blah.
Furniture. Wood furniture. Did you know what that is? Wood furniture. As opposed to the soft goods.
So not only are you... So
the
not,
word is case goods.
So not only are you hot, tremendously hot, but you're also...
Beautiful.
I mean, you're just totally... You're just stinking rich. You're stinking rich.
Oh, I don't talk about it. Southern girls do not talk about it.
Well, suffice to say you are.
I'm doing it for the love of now. I mean, I love design. I'm a frustrated interior designer. Designing and making beautiful spaces for women makes me happy. Or for families, not just women. But, I mean, most women are doing the shopping and decorating the home.
You have beautiful
spaces. So that
is
a passion. I've been a collector of antiques, and so it's a natural outlet for me. And Kmart sort of paved the way to teach me about branding in the proper way. So it's been great. It's been great to go in, different directions.
Okay. God, I've been such a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. God, I want you so bad.
As crazy as I am, okay.
So bad my whole life. Uh-huh. You got to know this. I wasn't a Farrah guy. I wasn't a Farrah guy. I didn't have that poster. I swear
to
God.
That was a pretty great poster.
I don't care. I didn't have it. And Kate Jackson, you know what she was to me? She was a retread from the rookies. You, Jacqueline Smith, oh, my God.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
And can I tell you, your erotic commercials for Dove, or whatever soap it was.
What was the soap you were selling?
Oh, Camay.
Camay.
Oh, my God.
Camay.
I know that they were not meant to be erotic commercials, but...
Wow, that goes back a ways. But...
Well,
He never.
Well, we're kind of old guys, you know.
You sound young.
We just got a compliment.
A lot of spirit there and a lot of energy. I like that.
I graduated high school early. I matured. That's quicker than my friend.
Yeah.
Now he's getting. Now it's braggadocio.
I love. Therefore, I am.
Yes, of course.
And I love you, Jacqueline Smith. Everybody does. Now listen, your show is on tonight.
Yeah.
Bravo. Sheer genius. Here's a question. Jacqueline Smith, what are you doing on a show about hairstyles?
Well, I'm a fan of Project Runway, and this is really the same format.
Okay.
And it really is enlightening for the viewer. I mean, you're going to learn a lot about hair, not only hair, but, you know, all of these 12 stylists are all very talented. So it's not always just the talented one. It's the well-rounded one, the grounded one, the one that doesn't get carried away. So it's like a character study.
Are there going to be beautiful babes on the show?
Oh, yeah. There's right. beautiful babes. Okay. There's very interesting judges from Jose Bear to Frederick Fekai to Vidal Sassoon. Sally Hirschberger is our main judge that's on every show.
Do you have I have to ask this. You know that. Is there a Simon? Is there a British judge?
Oh, yeah, we have a touch of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who's really going to tell it like it is, somebody who's going to be cruel.
Yeah, yeah, okay. We do. I mean, I cry when they go, so, I mean.
I know what role you would have, right.
I mean, it's sort of, because they all are, yeah, they're all so great, and they're all likable, and they're all appealing, and everybody will have their favorite, and rooting for one person. But I think that's the fun part of these shows, and it's not just for sensationalism or provocative. You will learn about hair, and there's all aspects of hair.
You seem like such a nice, genuine, decent woman. May I ask you, please don't be offended, have you ever, like, stubbed your toe and just dropped the F-bomb?
I'm sure I have.
There you go.
And here's one more for you.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty volatile at times, and I'm highly emotional, okay?
And here's another one for you, Jacqueline. Have you ever broken wind?
No, that I would in
see now.
No, with Southern Belle.
That's good. Though, no, that and I say by that. No,
that's
I haven't.
The right answer.
No, I haven't
don't
is the correct
talk
answer.
About that.
No, I haven't is the correct answer. That is
oh,
delightful.
That's the bell. That's it. Yeah. Questions are going to get worse.
Thank you for being on our show, Jacqueline.
Okay.
You are lovely, and we wish you continued success in the future.
Love you.
Okay. Thank you.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I swear to God, that could
was she,
have been,
I didn't know she was your favorite angel.
That could have been like a phone sex line for me.
I know. It almost was, really. Farrah, I, you know, I was a Farrah guy. I was, you know, I was interviewed about
that. I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy Farrah.
You enjoyed the poster?
I never really did have the poster. I never had it.
I had the poster on my notebook, and I had the poster in my locker, and I had the poster on my wall at home.
Kate Jackson was a legendary farter, though. So on the set, I'm sure that was all Kate Jackson. That was
she
doing.
Has the milkiest, softest skin.
Yeah, she Jacqueline is Smith. The classically beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. She really is.
And she really aged is. So well.
She has not gone underneath the knife like...
not that you know of. Not that you can tell.
Well, I think I read something where they asked her about that, and she said, like the Jamie Lee Curtis hermaphrodite thing, where she said, no, look at me. Well, what I am is what I am.
Wow.
A woman with both genitals.
You know,
I forgot
male
that about.
And female.
Jamie Lee. You know, maybe if she does the whole clean living thing, something that we on this show, none of us have managed to do.
We should try that.
Yeah, it's too late now, Buzz.
Oh,
way too late.
I forgot.
Forget it. You know who the Jacqueline Smith of this show would be? Nobody.
There is no Jacqueline
We got
Smith.
More Farrahs here. We got more Kate Jacksons here. Uh-huh. Hell, we got more Cheryl Ladd's here.
We do.
There is
but
not...
Cheryl, isn't Cheryl Ladd... No, she's had the plastic surgery.
Yeah, she has.
She's had the obvious. And, of course, Farrah.
Right.
You know, it's like that lady you mentioned when we were porch setting the other day. The Kit Kat lady out of New York.
Wildermere or whatever her name is.
I don't know what her name is. She's terrifying.
Here's Farrah.
Oh, I'd have killed him. I'm sure I would have killed him.
That's what it would have sounded
Farrah
like.
Farrah Fawcett, the burning bed.
Interviewed
Farrah.
I was sad you didn't do David Doyle for her.
I didn't feel like it. I was too enamored with her.
It was too tight.
Yeah.
That's right, Angel. I'm looking through the television right now, and I see a little boy. His name is Don Geronimo. He's sitting cross-legged in front of the television about an inch away. Yes,
Hold
that's
up.
Right, Rob. I am dead.
I've got one for you, though.
David Doyle's dead.
The late David.
How are you, Angel?
What if Powers Booth was on the show?
Hey, ladies. Wondered if you'd like to gather round. Like to give you a piece of my mind, and maybe... If y'all are lucky, how about a piece of something else? How about a piece of Powers? Powers booth. Who'd like to come into the booth? Would you like a table or a booth? Me, Powers booth. Thank you, Kate, Farrah, Jacqueline. Cheryl, get your tiny little blonde ass over here, too. We're all going to have some time in the booth. The Powers booth, honey.
That's disgusting, Angel.
Oh, boy. Well, we've had a few angels on. We've had Jacqueline Smith and Kate Jackson, I believe, right? Haven't we interviewed Kate Jackson?
Who knows?
I don't remember either.
I'm staring now.
You think we would?
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Scott Thompson saying Don and Mike are a gay.
Gay, 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 gay.
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
Just very average. Don and Mike.
That, of course, means it's time for...
Gay, 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 gay.
I have a little Craig Wilson now.
A new theme song.
I'll tell you that I'm biting the bullet on this one.
Really?
We always have an internal discussion about Craig, about if he's airworthy or not.
Right.
This morning I spoke to the producer, this week's producer, John Norman.
Yes.
He didn't think it was thick enough. Yeah. Robbie didn't think it was thick enough.
Well.
I do.
Well.
I do. And not because it's so overtly gay.
Uh-huh. It's very subtle, then.
I love it. It made me laugh out loud.
Good.
So without further ado, and again, if it sucks, blame it on me.
All right.
Okay.
It's a good one.
I think so.
Find out from today's USA Today. Time for the final word. Okay, Craig Wilson. The name of this column is $834. Buy the ticket out of a mad, mad world. Hmm. Anyone who has flown lately has a story, usually a sad story, and that would include me. Mine involves a canceled flight in Oklahoma City, a rewritten ticket on another airline, a rental car, a three-hour drive to Dallas, and a sleepless night in an airport hotel that has all the charms of an airport hotel. One has to wonder how they make those rooms smell the way they do. Actually, I don't want to know. And that's the part of my trip that went relatively well. What followed proves that whatever can go wrong will. Or perhaps I should say, whatever can go wrong will. Especially if it involves air travel in 2007. At one point, I faced the prospect of sitting at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport for 13 hours, since the ticket I had in hand was not really a ticket at all. It was a flight interruption manifest. Flight coupon, for short. So there was no record of me at the computer when I arrived at the counter. Something you do not want to hear at 6 a.m. And so, I did what any self-respecting 57-year-old man would do. I started to get a little teary.
Now listen,
this is where I had the discussion with the boys.
You win.
This is not overtly
gay, gay, gay.
No, but he's crying. He's crying at an airline counter.
I figured, if it works for women, why wouldn't it work for me?
It didn't.
In fact, I'm sure the agent was about to call security and report that an unstable, sleep-deprived man was standing before her. A man who was going through her trash. Which I was.
It's all a bit of a blur now. Through the tears and all. But at that point, I thought she had thrown away my rewritten ticket. I didn't know yet it was worthless. And I was determined to find it, boy. It was actually in my briefcase. But I didn't realize that at the time. If I had, I probably wouldn't have asked to look through her garbage.
I needed to get home, I said. My mom. My mom was in the hospital. It wasn't even a fib. What were my options, I asked? Limited, the answer was.
So, I did what any sane person would do.
I bought a one-way ticket for $834.40.
I had no idea what the 40 cents bought me.
I didn't have the sense to ask how much a round-trip ticket was. Probably half, knowing the quirkiness of airline ticket prices.
I was then told to fly with a 7 p.m. The first was an available seat. Storms, spring break, looming Armageddon were the culprits. The agent suggested I could pass the day playing standby, going from gate to gate, pleading my case. She said this as if it might be fun.
And maybe I could cry some more.
I thought. Boy!
Trying to forget.
By now, it was 6:45 a.m. I felt as if I'd already put in a full day's work. I looked at the screen and saw there was a flight home in 5 minutes. Why not start the game early, I asked myself. I ran.
When I got to the gate, the agent looked at me the way agents look at people who have been crying and rummaging through trash.
I pleaded my case, mentioning $834.40 twice. Her fingers danced across the keys and without a hint of emotion, handed me a boarding pass.
It was a middle seat. Row 13. I figured it cost me about $400 an hour to sit there.
And yes, I've been talking to the airlines for a month now. Phone calls, faxes, emails, even talked to a human once.
I haven't cried again.
But I'm not ruling it out.
Yes, Greg Wilson. The final word, Greg Wilson.
Hi, I'm Greg Wilson.
K-K-K-K.
And you know what's best about it? What's best about it? As soon as you start reading it, you know that he, you just picture him sitting there in tears.
Crying.
And really working up the tears to try to get sympathy from the agent.
But I have to go see my mother. What did he write? Hold on.
I needed to get home. My mom was in the hospital.
It wasn't even a fib.
Not a fib.
Not a fib.
I did what any self-respecting 57-year-old man would do.
I started to get a little teary.
I figured if it worked for women, of course.
Why wouldn't it work for me, boy?
And where was Jack?
Jack wasn't traveling with him.
This is when he needs Jack the most.
That's right. Jack and his dog down below in the hold.
That's right. There's a new dog, not Murphy.
No, Murphy's gone.
That's right.
Freezing to death.
And maybe I could cry some more, I thought.
It's all a bit of a blur now, through the tears and all.
I've been talking to the airlines for a month.
I haven't cried again.
And I love it when he references the fact that he's 57. That's always nice, too. I picture him sweater around his neck.
Right.
Just sitting there.
Where's my ticket?
Hi, I'm Craig Wilson.
I don't have a ticket to get back home. My flight was canceled.
I needed to get home, I said. My mom was in the hospital.
And what was he doing in Oklahoma City?
Wasn't even a fit.
It doesn't have to be over the top. No, he really did
you,
cry.
Mike. Thank you, thank you.
No, that's good. That's quality Wilson.
That's good.
Mr. Wilson!
That's good Craig Wilson tonight. That's like, reminds me of the episode of Seinfeld, where it's right when George and Jerry have both gotten engaged at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think Jerry to Sarah Silverman, right? Then they find out that they're too much alike,
mm-hmm.
so Jerry breaks up with her, and George is still stuck with Susan,
mm-hmm.
and he wants desperately, they're supposed to get married on Christmas,
right.
and he wants to postpone it for 3 months, and finally he just cries. And when he cries, she caves,
right.
and they're sitting at the diner the next day, and he's like, Jerry, it's amazing. All you have to do is cry. Tears. She did whatever I wanted.
Didn't work for Craig Wilson, though.
No, it did not.
Some fat old man. Three. Take your place in line like everybody else.
He was engaged to Janine Garofalo.
Oh, yeah, thank right. you. It was not Sarah Silverman. Thank you, Rob.
Oh,
thank you.
The episode of Seinfeld with the big sex scene in it.
That's right.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's one with Jerry and Janine Garofalo.
That's right.
Oh.
Was Sarah Silverman ever on the Seinfeld?
No, she was on Larry Sanders. She was a writer
yeah.
on Larry Sanders.
Yeah.
Did we ever have that discussion about Sarah Silverman as to whether she would be too edgy and too mean to maintain her sexiness?
No.
I just picture her and Jimmy Kimmel
like together, and whether they're both just so edgy that that's who she climb on top.
I don't know, the picture I'm getting is him, not her.
I know him with his big hairy back.
I'm thinking like when he was on Fox doing the football stuff, where he'd take his shirt off all the time.
He's got the hairy shoulders.
On that football show.
Is her brother? Is she related to the single guy, Jonathan Silverman?
Jonathan. Oh God, I hope not.
I don't know. I'm just wondering.
She's related to Fred Silverman.
Oh, he's a genius, a programming genius,
Super Train.
Super Train, Fred Silverman, and I'm trying to think if there are any other Silvermans. Fred Silverman?
I'm sure there are.
Well, of course, we're going to get in trouble again if I'll say it. But when I preface that by saying we're going to get in trouble, we won't.
We won't.
I would say the odds in Hollywood might be very significant.
I'll guess.
Significantly in our favor.
I'll guess David.
David Silverman. I will say Joel. I just found it.
Excuse me. I will go with Mel.
Winner. Winner.
I'm defeated.
Mel. Perhaps the full name, though. Melvin Silverman. Melvin Silverman.
Right.
What were you going to join in?
No, I'm just
going to
say that Jonathan and Sarah are not related. We checked.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Thank you, Buzz.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Wonderful.
Jonathan Silverman.
That was his lead story.
Yeah.
Now, Buzz.
Now I've got to change it.
You got some news, right?
Yes, I do.
We'll be right back. No crying now.
All right.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is quite literally hell on earth.
Uh-oh, Dongo!
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
I know.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
I'm in the news now.
On their back and covered in baby oil. Here's Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
Right.
What about the vagina?
What about it?
I can't pee in public bathrooms.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Panty hamster gonna spin on its wheel?
The show's gonna be funny.
I hope you say the same thing tomorrow, because we're really thinking about doing the all-caller show tomorrow.
You've slightly modified your position a little bit.
Well, it's just there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. We didn't get to the worst songs of all time today.
Right.
We definitely will want to do some Regis stuff tomorrow, because Regis is coming back.
It's a big return.
Yeah, but then, I don't know. There's stuff happening every day, you know?
Yeah.
I guess if we're going to bite the bullet and do the all-caller show...
You got to do it. You got to pull the trigger on it.
We got to do it.
We have to do it?
Come on, we got to do it.
Okay.
Got to be you and me. You know?
All right, I'll...
Frick and frack, yin and yang.
Hey, for me, you know what it is? It's an extra aspirin in the morning, that's all.
That's all.
And then I'm good to go.
Breakfast and flakes. You know what I'm saying?
The breakfast buns.
That's right.
So I guess that's it's etched in stone then.
Oh, no.
No, nothing is.
Nothing.
No guarantees in life.
No guarantees. You know, unless John comes up with, some killer guest tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
John, what are the odds of that?
I'm sorry, the odds of what?
There we go.
Okay. Now here's Charlie with the news. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
The Dow broke the 13,000 mark today for the first time in history, but yesterday, April 24th, 2007, that's the day that will live in infamy. Because
excuse me for one second.
Oh,
though.
Sure.
Did it stay over 13,000 at the end of the day?
Yeah, it closed at 13.090.
So where were all the people that were like jumping out of their windows in October?
Oh,
they were talked in off the ledge, a lot of them. I think people that overreact to the stock market are... are idiots.
At least when
there's several people, Rob, excuse me for just a second. I just like to say there's several people that helped me with certain things. I'd like to say thank you to.
Thanks.
And I'm really, really sorry I yelled.
Oh,
thank you.
Are you?
Thank you for having cooler heads than mine.
That's why I think you know my philosophy on the stock market. And I'll tell you, I'll tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Three letters, CBS.
Say no more.
How can you lose? How can you lose money?
You can't.
That means can't buy stock?
It's impossible.
Oh, it means you're going to be incredibly rich if you buy CBS stock. You'll be incredibly rich if you buy stock at the Columbia Broadcasting System.
There it is.
And you'll be even richer. Okay, so if you buy in Westwood One.
Oh, yeah. And print it and take it upstairs.
And you know, if you're really smart.
What?
in a contract negotiation,
mm-hmm.
you leave money on the table, and instead, you take shares of your company's stock.
There's only one word that describes that, Buzz.
What's that?
You know the word. You say it often.
Brilliant. Wow. Hi, that's me. Anyway.
Well, congratulations.
Well, I'm glad the stock market got over 13,000
today. That's good. Yeah.
Me too.
Now, that's an historical marker, you know, a milestone. But,
yes.
But it was yesterday, April 24th, 2007. That's the day that'll live in infamy because this time we did see the Japanese coming. We've been expecting General Motors to lose its crown as the world's biggest car company. Well, yesterday was the day, and it was a Japanese company, Toyota, that was the first to overtake GM in 76 years. First quarter numbers show that Toyota sold more cars than GM, something no company has ever done before in American history. The Prius and Toyota's other cars.
So close, Buzz.
I thought
you nailed it.
I know. There's a little boy in the back of the studio that's not real happy about that news. No?
It's not Jackie Chan. It's Rob.
Rob, why you got
this thing about GM? Why you love GM?
Why so down?
They're the best. It's just the best.
Why does it bother you that Toyota has overtaken them?
Well, don't you remember a little thing called World War Freaking
Two? Okay.
Never forget.
When you're right, you're right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It was the Prius and the other fuel-efficient cars from Toyota that got the job done. Now, like I said, we saw it coming. Still, GM doesn't stink, even if it is number two. GM
is
still the second.
What kind of car is this?
Caprice Classic.
Rob's car.
Stop it.
And that's what happens when Rob says it, too. He says Caprice Classic, and then he gets a big laugh. GM's still the second biggest car maker, and with record sales numbers, so cry no tears for them.
Yeah, Pearl now, Flippin' Harbor.
About driving Mr. Corzine, was the limo driver for New Jersey Governor Jim Corzine reading email when the crash occurred?
I'm sorry, I did that. I was a bad driver.
I was a bad Secret Service agent.
Bernard?
I'm sorry, security officer. I was a state employee.
Bernard,
where's your email?
Somebody else is saying sorry, though. It was an angry email that the driver was perhaps getting from a fellow state trooper about having a 2-year affair with his wife while driving the unseat-belted Corzine at 91 miles an hour.
Jesus, you know, my God. In this day and age, really, a guy can't even get an angry email about an affair with his wife.
Well, right. She's hot.
She's hot.
Right.
This is the latest wrinkle in the investigation into what put the governor in critical but stable condition. The trooper with the wandering wife says he hopes that he did not cause the crash by sending that email. So far, no official comment from investigators.
So it was the trooper that sent the email that perhaps has come clean about
it. He's the one who came forward and said, you know, there was this email I sent him seconds before the crash.
So was it a text or was it an email I got a BlackBerry?
A text. We don't know the entire story on this. He sent it either to the guy's cell phone or to his BlackBerry. Yeah, one of those two.
The bad thing is he put in the subject line, accelerate and then read this.
It sounds a little passive-aggressive to me,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Right.
It sounds like this other state trooper is trying to screw the guy.
Of another great BlackBerry as well. Marsha. God damn it, this am Greg Brady.
Harry Williams.
Hello. This am BlackBerry Williams. Another BlackBerry.
Another BlackBerry. Thank you. Don Geronimo, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. We'll be here all week.
Mike only says my name, not because he thinks it's funny, because if someone's going to get fired, it would be me.
That's right.
That's all right.
Credit or blame, you decide.
Yeah, like we won't go down together.
With Ronald Reagan, we had a Republican president.
Only if you buy me dinner first.
Talk sweetly.
Please, toucan chew, Mike. This is the magic number, 69?
Yeah, baby. Now, with Ronald Reagan, we had a Republican president who said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
Three Canadian hunters?
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Now, that's cold up there. Three Canadian hunters.
Hunters.
Well.
And with Reagan's request, down came the wall that divided the city of Berlin.
Yep.
Now we have a Republican president who's building a wall in the city of Baghdad. American officials say the 16-foot-high wall aimed at keeping the peace between Shiites and Sunnis is only temporary. But most Iraqis, regardless of religion, and their elected leaders don't like the wall. Mr. Bush, they're saying,
tear down that wall.
I didn't know he was building a wall.
Yeah, no, a lot of people don't.
I had no idea.
We actually are in certain neighborhoods to try to isolate the violence so maybe we can sneak out.
That always works really well.
Uh-huh.
History has proven
what
that.
What could possibly go
There's only one that's really worked, and that's the great one.
Right.
The one over in China.
Still standing.
I disagree.
What?
I think the wall that's worked on is the Pink Floyd album.
Hey, we're talking about that outside, man. Makeout songs.
Hey.
The wall.
The wall.
Leave those kids alone.
You can't have your pudding unless you eat your meat.
If you don't eat your meat, right. We were reporting.
Is that the makeout song for who?
Well, no, not that particular song. Pink Floyd music. We were talking about Dark Side of the Moon because it's so mellow. It was at the time anyway a very good makeout album.
Dark Side of the Moon was the makeout song when I was in college. I mean, the album, the whole album had good parts on it until all those bells and whistles went off. You better have finished up by that.
That must have been just you.
I like. What are we talking about? Like mid-70s?
Yeah,
early '70s.
Yeah, but I mean, it carried through till the late '70s.
I always thought good screwing music was the DeFranco family.
Yeah,
hard me.
You always, Mr. Pop.
It's a love.
You were king of pop.
The king of pop.
If I put that on right now, you'd be singing louder than anybody else.
I know it's a heartbeat. It's a love beat. It's fantastic. It turns me on.
The DeFrancos. We report. You decide. Yesterday, Rudy Giuliani said, "You're risking another 9/11 if you elect a Democrat to the White House." Giuliani says that if a Republican, he in particular, is elected, he will anticipate and stop terrorist attacks. Democrat, not so much. When asked to evaluate the effectiveness of President Bush's troop surge in Iraq, Giuliani replied, "I don't know the answer to that."
You know what he needs? He really needs someone to fix his teeth.
I haven't gotten a good look at his choppers.
He has the combination of, like, I'm guessing, coffee stains and...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm.
Just like a guy that's, been living in the city all his life, really never got around to it.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe he only brushes his teeth once a day.
Yeah.
Very busy.
Sorry you walked right into that.
Mine don't have any stains on them, though.
No, they don't.
They're actually pretty clean.
No, they don't.
Thank goodness.
Don't smile like that. Don't crinkle your mouth up like that.
Careless enough over the teeth.
Powers Booth.
And his teeth.
Yeah. Thank goodness for hard-hitting journalists like the dreamy Anderson Cooper. There are, as you, I'm sure you're aware. Right. A lot of women and...
Anderson Cooper is the in or out. Anderson Cooper, 180. Bend over, 180.
Staying in the closet or coming out.
Oh, a lot of women, I don't know, nothing yet, but a lot of women.
They're gay.
That's a big question.
If you're gay, you like kissing men, right?
Right.
Whoa!
That's right, Larry.
Whoa, yeah. The town of Cooperstown.
It's good to see the Duker again.
The Duker is a euphemism for the buttocks, right?
Yep. Yes, that is correct,
the
Larry.
Buttocks is bad, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends.
Can be good and bad
point of view.
I got a lot of bad down there. A lot of bad. It kind of hurts.
As you're probably aware, a lot of women, a lot of men, find the CNN and 60 Minutes correspondent hot.
I tell you what, it's D's, Dem, and Doe's.
Huh? I went on his show, that Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
I went on their show one day.
Yeah. You could dock the penises. Really.
Anderson Cooper, yeah, he's a pretty boy.
Today's internet, a lot of people want to see him naked.
That's a good guy there. That Anderson Cooper there.
These Dem and Those.
Hey,
doesn't Anderson Cooper work out at the Equinox Gym in the Time Warner building where he works in New York? Maybe we could... No, he won't take off the boxer briefs. As Cooper explains it, he takes precautions at the gym.
What?
That's right. Anderson Cooper wears underpants in the shower because he doesn't want anyone to see his penis.
Well, why not just put a sign out saying I'm gay?
Brian Williams, complete opposite. Holy smoke, Batman! Fire broke out on the set of the next Batman movie yesterday in Chicago. Some old insulation started...
Hold on, just a second.
Yes?
I know what I said was a joke that was not funny.
Uh-huh.
Was what you said a joke?
Does Brian Williams...
No, yeah, it was a joke.
Okay.
Oh, so he doesn't...
So we both weren't funny.
Exactly.
But Anderson Cooper really does... I'm sorry to retread on this,
no, it's
but
all right.
He really does wear briefs in the shower? Yeah,
by his own admission.
And I don't know.
I've been to a lot of health clubs and a lot of men's baths. No, I've been to a lot of places. I've never seen a guy shower in his
shower. And I know my immediate thought was that must make him gay, and you would think the stereotype would be,
right.
Why would a gay man be around other men and not want to have his genitals showing?
Mm-hmm.
Unless,
I don't think you were using "gay" in that way. I mean, it's just kind of a
thank you.
Kind of a gay thing, and you meant that in the '70s schoolboy.
That was not a homosexual.
Right.
It's like calling someone a mo.
It's just odd. I mean, it's really, because, well, I mean, wouldn't you draw more attention? And the briefs are still going to get wet and cling in all the right places.
And isn't that exactly really two steps away from the type of kid, again, who in high school was a mo, who would go to gym class and then wouldn't shower because he didn't want the other boys to see him naked?
And even if you're going to do something like that, wouldn't you throw on like a pair of nylon shorts or a bathing suit if you were going to do that, as opposed to going in with cotton underwear on?
Well, maybe.
And then don't you have like a big wet spot on your khakis all day?
Don't you have to bring a plastic bag to wring it out and like put it in a plastic bag if you're going to put it back in your gym bag? Otherwise, you're going to get a leak on all your other clothes.
And what do you do with wet underpants?
Right. And he's got to come out of them at some point. You figure either to get back in his street clothes.
And really, primarily, aren't you drawing much more attention to yourself by wearing briefs in the shower than you would if you went in naked?
Only if it winds up on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no, he's right. He's Anderson Cooper. And there are people who would love to, with their cell phone camera, snap a picture of him at the gym, put it on the internet, please, and make a million bucks and retire.
God, please do. Hold on. Where's that list about gays? Hold on. This is from Out Magazine. Out Magazine ranks the top 50 gays. Okay?
Uh-huh.
David Geffen is number one.
Is this for power or just in general?
It's the 50 most powerful gay.
Very good.
Gay men and women in America.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson Cooper, who of course is not out, is number two. It's Geffen, Anderson Cooper, Ellen DeGenitals, Barney Frank, Rosie O'Donnell. And then a bunch of people I don't. I'll give you the notable names that I recognize.
Okay.
On the top 50 list as we continue. Susie Orman or Suze Orman.
Yeah, she's the financial lady.
She just came out. Perez Hilton.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a swift rise for him, so to speak.
Let me see. I don't recognize any of these other names. I'm all the way down to number 35. Jodie Foster, again, not officially out. She's 43,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. All these other names, I mean, have you heard of any of these people?
Okay.
Andrew Sullivan.
No.
Fred Hochberg.
No.
Nick Denton.
Mm-mm.
Tom Ford. Adam Moss.
Tom Ford, I think, is a...
sounds familiar. Moss.
Is a designer, I believe.
Jim Nelson. How about this one? Chi-Chi LaRue. Who the hell is Chi-Chi LaRue?
I don't know, but it's a great name. And it's somebody that Rich Little ought to introduce.
And now, Chi-Chi LaRue.
Matthew Marks. Eric Bickle.
Hey. That can't be right.
Hi, E.B.
I'm surprised that there's been no comment from Anderson Cooper about the fact that... And it's got a lot of publicity in Out Magazine, which is a big gay periodical, that he's number two. The most powerful gay and the second most powerful gay person in America.
Not even who is wearing briefs in the shower.
What a mo. I only mean that in the mo way.
In the real mo way.
It's a great way. Yeah. Some old insulation started burning on the set of the Batman movie in Chicago. They were using an abandoned post office downtown as the Gotham National Bank. The sprinkler system did most of the firefighting, but there was a lot of smoke. Fire chief says it looked a lot worse than it was. And even though the fire was downtown, a guy who works next door was never worried, quoting him, "We assumed it was part of the movie."
What's his name? American Psycho going to be Batman again?
Yeah, Christian Bale back in.
Did you like him as Batman?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Good actor.
Good.
Part.
Yeah. Yeah, you're scared of bats, right?
Bats are scary, huh?
You live with Robin. You're a man with a boy. And I see in the comics, you talk about pulling a boner.
Ooh.
That's controversial, right?
pardon my grammar, but smart.
If Superman goes to have sex with Lois Lane, right? I mean, he destroys her, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he destroys her or not.
Smart don't make you rich, and rich don't make you smart. That's the story when we return.
I mean, it's like, wouldn't he literally like break her in half?
So, you love that reference, don't you?
One man's theory.
It's Superman with the incredible thing. You've always fantasized about that.
Yeah, right.
He changed his voice
out of character immediately.
I mean, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right.
I
love that. That's such a great DJ intro. Goddamn. That sounds great with every set of call letters. I mean, you can have any call letters. Doesn't really matter what you say. Mambo dog face. Diapers taste good. Mmm, poop. 93 KHJ.
AHJ.
DJs.
What have they been drinking?
Yeah. So it's a nice energy in here. Yeah. You look great.
Thanks, I feel great.
Yeah, so this is huge. 50 years is...
I can't believe it. May 1st,
1957.
My lifetime wish came true. I wanted to be on radio, and I started on a small station in Miami Beach, and in 50 years, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's 50 years. I pinch myself every day.
Yeah. It flies by, it seems, right?
Yeah, because I remember the first day like yesterday, and I...
Yesterday, yeah, the first day.
My first day on the air. Remember, this is my lifetime dream. Now I got a job. I'm ready to go on. I'm going to be a disc jockey. My name was Larry Zeiger. That was my name. The manager of the station says, "What name are you going to use?" I said, "What's wrong with Larry Zeiger?" He says, They won't remember it. It's too ethnic. You need another name." Now I'm so nervous, and now I got to go on the air, and I don't like my name.
This is when he tells you? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got the paper open, the Miami Herald, and there was an ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. And he said, how about Larry King? I said, sounds okay. So I went in, I sit down in the studio, the record's playing, and nothing came out of my mouth. I was scared to death. I looked at the clock, you know, a minute ticked away, and I said, my whole career is over. All I've ever wanted.
What a shame the song started. We couldn't hear Larry's thought finish.
Larry Zeiger, right.
King's Wholesale Liquors. Go!
I thought it was too ethnic. Yeah.
I get the job of my life, Miami Beach, and we absolutely destroyed them.
I don't think anybody in radio back then would have said, you have a name that's too ethnic. It was just, you got to have a show busy name.
Right? You know, you're right about that. As somebody that's been on the receiving end of that, they didn't say it like that.
No,
that's not a good name. Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, right.
You don't threw in the too ethnic, probably.
Of course he did. Hey, how you doing? I'm playing Jukon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing the Jukon.
Yeah, it's too ethnic.
It's too ethnic.
Right.
Zeiger changed it to King.
Uh-huh. Right. Why wasn't he Larry Liquors? Could have happened. Larry Liquors.
It could have happened.
Rubber ball and liquor.
What did you do last night?
Rubber ball and liquor.
What did you do the night before?
No, you got it all wrong.
Well, you got to start it then because I'm on the receiving end normally.
What'd you have for breakfast?
Rubber balls and liquor.
What'd you have for lunch?
Rubber balls.
Makes no sense.
No, but we love it.
But it is one of those jokes from childhood that transcended the thousands of miles between where Mike grew up and where I grew up.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
we both heard it.
Yep.
And it made absolutely no sense.
Right. Right. That and another expression for making whoopee that we both used that involved, what you use in a football game, a basketball game, a baseball. Ball.
Oh, yeah.
I love to ball that chick.
I remember that. Yeah.
God, I wish she would ball me. I guess over the weekend I was having a discussion with some people about when we say something as hot as balls,
mm-hmm.
I was saying that's something that Rob came up with, or Rob's been saying, it cracks us all up.
Right.
And then I said, but really it's not original because guys have said, like, for a long time, you've been about guys says, God, cold as balls out here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or you go, I guess maybe I've said hot as balls, but not in the way that Rob does.
Right.
Rob does it in a real hot way. Erotic.
I mean, I know that I have said, God, it's cold as balls out here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But now.
And simply balls. Balls, that was a good show. Isn't that right, Sean?
That's right.
A new study.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
A new study says there's no connection between intelligence and wealth. Quoting a
well, we're proof that that's not true.
I was thinking more of Larry King.
You're looking right. Hold on.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're proof. You don't have to be smart to make $2 in this world.
Quoting a research scientist at Ohio State, people don't become rich because they're smart. He studied 7,400 Americans over 25 years.
That's right. You don't have to be smart to be rich.
Mm-hmm. And he found your IQ really has no relationship to your wealth and being very smart.
Don Geronimo.
Or use my real name.
Michael Soares.
Mm-hmm. They told me not to use that when I first got into radio, but it was too ethnic.
Too ethnic.
That's right.
And that's why you were, that's why, but of course the other name was taken, Don King.
And the researcher says being very smart does not protect you from financial difficulty.
Hi, this is Mike Licker.
It could have happened.
Sure.
Michael Licker.
The researcher says smarter people do tend to earn more money, but that, he says, is not the same thing as being wealthy. Turns out the smarter people really, on average, only earn about 10 grand a year more than people with normal IQ.
If you don't have education, then you can't hardly get a job. Well,
Joe!
That's right.
If you're looking for sex online, what are the odds you might chat with Miss America?
And then I sat and really worked it.
Odds are better than you probably think.
I like this story.
Miss America Lauren Nelson has been working undercover with New York City police in a sting operation on sexual predators.
All right.
Pulled you in, though, didn't
I? Yeah, you did.
You know who I had internet sex the other day? It was Miss Saigon. God damn, was she hot.
I love you when you make those Broadway references.
How hot was she?
Why settle when you can select?
Pageant officials grumbled nervously when they heard about this idea, but Lauren posed as a 14-year-old girl, even little girled her voice, to set up meetings by phone. That'll be on America's Most Wanted this Saturday night. And not to take away from Chris Hansen, Miss America might be easier on the eye.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of porn piling up on the internet. Doesn't download itself.
Good job to be a pageant official.
Greg Howard.
A pageant official?
That's what I'd like to
A be. Backstage pageant official.
A high-powered pageant.
Excuse me, I'm going to need to straighten that.
Yes, and naughty girls must be punished. So the Florida State Senate now has to consider doing something about a girl's thong showing above the waistband of her pants. That's because of controversial state senator from Orlando, Gary Siplin. He calls it the pull-up-your-britches bill.
Yeah.
He wants a mandatory 10-day suspension from school for any student whose underwear is showing. Senator Siplin hopes, by the way, this will make you forget about his recent conviction for grand theft. You know those Queen's Guards, the ones with the big furry black hats and the red coats in England?
Yeah. Do I?
Well, some rookies in the Scottish regiment made the mistake of having a video camera recording the pantsless dance they did in their furry hats and red coats and socks and nothing else.
Ew, you're crap.
Alcohol was involved.
Yes.
They wiggled their bums and waved their winkies at the camera. The Queen is not amused. The Scots guards have been disciplined. Doubtful that's on video.
I'm usually put out on my first date, but I gotta say, that is a rad move.
In other news this week, a new report says surgeons accidentally leave tools inside of patients more often when the patient is really fat.
Well,
did you ever hear the one about the scalpel that was left inside of my stomach?
Still can't go through a metal detector.
A new study says women still make way less than men, even right out of college.
Yeah!
And?
Hold on, we got to say it again, we got to do it the way they do in the movies,
Buzz. All right.
Just because...
A new study says women still make way less than men, even right out of college.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Rudy!
Yeah! Rudy!
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 Yes, sir! Yeah! Dumb broad.
And one woman might regret her letter to the editor of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. In her letter, published last week, Connie Meskimen of Hot Springs wrote about the new earlier start for daylight savings time. You know, we started about a month earlier.
Right, this good idea. It was a good idea.
This concerns Connie. She doesn't think it was a good idea, Don.
Why?
She wrote in her letter to the editor that no one seems to have thought about this, how that extra hour of sunlight is going to make global warming worse. She's obviously very wealthy. Time for another edition of Animal Stories. A guy walks into a bank.
Why is that?
That's just for you.
You know, when he said that, he should have some sort of music that goes along with it.
That's the bit that Larry Lujak used.
Right, I know.
Animal Tommy Diver, Animal Stories.
Right. Well, this is one. Guy walks into a bank, a foyer, early one morning in Berlin. Bank's not open yet, but the foyer's open for the ATM. He sees a horse standing there.
Let me just explain before Buzz does this.
Mm-hmm.
Three hunters.
Yep. This guy that I worked with and then later against in Chicago many years ago.
Super jock
Larry Lujak, mm-hmm. had one bit on his show. Animal Stories.
That's right.
And what he would do was twice a day, uh-huh. same three stories. You would find three funny stories like Buzz has,
right.
of animals in the news.
Right.
And that was this guy's whole show.
Did he do it every day?
every day at 7:45 and 9:45.
And what do you think the odds are that, some of them were made up?
I happen to know, Mike, that some of them were made up. I might have been around when some of them were made up.
You might have helped make some up?
I might have been. But pretty much this was Larry Lujack's whole show.
Right. Animal stories, you know. You don't have to have any witnesses, so you can make them all up.
Good boy, Larry Lujack. Animal stories coming up at 7:45 at 6:10. WOS at 6:30. Animal stories an hour away. Then at 7:45 he'd actually do it.
Right.
And then he would just spend the rest of the morning saying again, Larry Lujack at 8:10. Animal stories. At 9:45 with old Tommy Edwards.
Animal stories.
Well, animal stories. In this case, crazy.
It turns
crazy
out story. It was crazy. The horse's owner was a little drunk, and the horse's owner had led the horse into this tiny foyer. The owner was passed out on the floor. And finally, it is a felony to kill a gator in Florida. Killing or even possessing this protected species is good for 2 months in jail and a $500 fine. So, when 35-year-old Ben Hodges of Tampa found a dead alligator down by the river, he did what you would do.
What?
He put it in a grocery cart and wheeled it home, whereupon he proceeded to butcher it on his front lawn.
That's exactly what we would do.
Yeah, when police asked him why, Ben said, he needs a new belt. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! And that would also count.
Well, well, Tommy. It seems
right.
He needed a new belt.
And then they would play in the center and goes, ow! Like, right. Like a wolf howling.
Stay tuned for more animal stories.
And then he locked you in the foyer.
Yeah, he did.
Super jock.
They let me in. I don't hear you.
You're killing me with that. That's too funny.
Super jock.
Super jock. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
My powers.
So long, boys.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Ed.
I'm going home, get some pot, and get high.
Yeah, you be careful out there, Rob. Check out my park mark.
This is the Don and Mike Show.